daughter was saying to turn on your radio.
Something fresh and exciting. Somebody with a sock personality that'll sweep people right off their feet.
Where is he? What is he up to? What other terrors can he unleash at will?
Starring your genial host, renowned writer, art collector, and teller of strange tales.
What fiendish power did he possess? Where did he come from? Who is this man?
Believe me.
It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network for a Monday. Talk radio the way our founders intended. America, ask yourself this. If 70% of us, voting-aged Americans, say no more money to Ukraine, but Congress sends $61 billion anyway, is there really any democracy left to be destroyed? Day 1119. People of the Eric in America, say hello to EZ.
What's up?
Good afternoon to you. Thank you for the fine job on Friday.
Thank you.
Putting the heat in Heather.
Hey, guys.
Thank you as well, Heather.
It was so much fun.
Heather has answers for the next hour. Dark History, top of the third. Eric Matheny with a lot to say. Top of the final hour of the program. With your input from the Florida Man Radio app, delivering your remarks. In between, think about that for a minute. Democracy is a government by the people, either directly by the people or through elected representatives of the people. And if 70%, that's Democrats and Republicans, voting-aged Americans together, 70% of us, that's a supermajority, for the record, say we want no more of our taxpayer money to go to Ukraine. We don't care about the consequences. That's it. That should be it. Correct?
That's why we are in a Democratic Republic instead of an actual democracy.
And instead, you get the attitude is more like, hey, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. We know what's best for you, even though none of us have really had real jobs. A lot of us have never really been employed. Some of us have. Some of us, you know, we know what's best for you. And I don't think it is in this case, but there may be some cases where they know some secret stuff that we don't know. And we might want one thing and they say, no, we can't tell you why, but you don't want that. They don't know what's best for us. They know what's best for them. That is the feeling. Shut up. You don't know Dick. We know more than you. I mean, what's best for you? That's not a democracy. That is the furthest thing from a democracy. That's the opposite of a democracy. So stop saying that Trump's going to destroy it because it has been destroyed for some time. And your elected officials, I don't think, I could be wrong. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that they're really not representing you in the manner in which you would prefer. I'm gonna take a stab here and say that the majority of you are not being represented the way you'd like to be, including myself. And perhaps the reason, I'm trying to find this wonderful piece of audio from Congressman Connolly, a Democrat, who basically says their border, Ukraine-Russia border, is our border. Have you heard this nutcase?
I did hear that one.
Where did I put it? It's here somewhere. I mean, that's got to be, at that point, you've got, you've got to say, wait. No, there's not a penny in this bill that they passed over the weekend that goes to our border. You know that.
Yeah, not one bit.
Not a dime. Nothing. Zip. Here he is. And this guy wants you to believe him.
Some say, well, we have to deal with our border first. The Ukrainian-Russian border is our border.
No, no.
It's the border between depraved autocracy and freedom-loving people seeking our democratic way of life.
So let's back that up. Let's hear that one more time, up to that point.
Some say, well, we have to deal with our border first. The Ukrainian-Russian border is our border. It's the border between depraved autocracy and freedom-loving people seeking our democratic way of life.
Here's those freedom-loving people seeking our democratic way of life in Ukraine.
Despite the rockets, Ukraine's nightlife is rocking. The bars and clubs are full. The place is jumping, music pumping, drinks flow freely, and they dance like there's no tomorrow. And it's not just here. Fun fact, there are now more bars and restaurants in the capital than before the start of the invasion.
They're seeking free our way of life and freedom. On the other side is autocratic depravity or whatever the hell he said. And this is our border.
I don't know. Yeah, and nothing like watching our representatives wave a Ukrainian flag right there.
I can't believe that that is even allowed in the rules to bring any other flag into the House than the American flag. They're passing them out like candy. Everybody just went bananas waving them. It's really depressing. It really depressing. The more money we send to Ukraine, the less I believe in this horrible war situation. When this is the nightlife.
Despite the rockets, Ukraine's despite the war is rocking.
This place is packed.
The bars and clubs are full. The place
the
is
chicks
jumping,
are hot.
Music pumping, drinks flow freely.
That doesn't seem to me like a hopeless, freedom-seeking people seeking the democratic Western way of life. It seems like they're completely content in their way of life right now, and they're really enjoying it. And there are more bars and restaurants in Kyiv now than prior to the Russian invasion.
We were talking about getting into business. What good time would be to go after war starts, huh? Yes. To build bar. Because people like to celebrate war.
I don't know. A lot of the dudes dancing in this video look to be of military age.
Oh, it's funny that you didn't see in all that aid package of the, what, almost $30 trillion or so we've got. TGI Fridays actually sponsored a large part of that.
We're going to give them a chili stew and a TGI Fridays.
I tell you, nothing is really... I had a crap weekend out of town and just a long list of nightmarish stuff that happened, weather, and the whole reason I went for a wedding was canceled because of the weather. But anyway, I did realize my dad needs to keep the television on. I mean, it's like complete silence in his home, and I'm sitting there at the kitchen table, and he reads a little bit of the paper, and well, he sits there.
Yeah, he needs something.
I'm like, Dad, do you mind if I turn the TV on? And then I had to figure out how to, there's 40 different things, and you got to tell Alexa to do this and that and blah. Anyway, I would pop into the news in the day when I was over there hanging out with them, and I just watched. I couldn't believe what we saw going on here, starting Thursday in Columbia, in New York City. And literally, New York City is going to be known for a second ground zero, this time for just naked, wide-open Nazism. It's really quite incredible to see. It's a phenomenon, I think. First of all, they had an anti-Israel tent city that got broken up. We heard about that. Israel, what's her name? The daughter of Ilhan Omar was arrested. I know you're saying, ha ha, she's, well, Paul, listen, she's now homeless. Okay.
And starving.
Yeah, apparently she's really, really hungry. Ilhan Omar's daughter, kicked out of Colombia. Or suspended. They say kicked out in the story. I thought it was suspended, but maybe like a year and a half. She says about 100 protesters were handcuffed and hauled away for refusing to leave their little tent encampment in the school's campus. She says it was frantic. Where am I going to sleep? Also, all of my S was thrown into a random parking lot. It's horrible.
I have like 4 shirts, 2 pairs of pants. I don't know when I can go home. I don't know if I ever will be able to. I sent an email. They said, hey, I rely on campus for my meals. I rely on my dining plan. And they're like, oh, you could come pick up a prepackaged bag of food. A full 48 hours after I was suspended. There was no food support. No, nothing. We had so many people who were born female in our group that they didn't have enough space for us. She means in the women's holding tank at the jail. It was a very slow process. And I guess she's considering there was some female born that said they were men, and the cops were like, yeah, whatever, get in this cage. It was a slow process getting everyone into the cells. I was zip-tied for 7 hours and wasn't released for 8. Only Barnard students were evicted, and I think it's pretty crazy. Couldn't you call your mom? Are you telling me that that Ilhan Omar's daughter doesn't have a credit card in her mother's name or whatever that her mom set up, or some money that her mother's lavishly, you know, she's very wealthy, and the school's $90,000 a year to begin with, and Israel's not there on a scholarship, so which means that, you know.
Yeah, she doesn't have enough money to go to a hotel or, I don't know, go get some food.
No.
You really telling me that she goes every day to the school cafeteria to get her meal.
That's it. And now she's in a food desert. They built a new tent city after the other one was cleared. They did tell everyone before they cleared the last one, the cops, you know, were, you know, I would say as nice as they could be about it. They gave them fair warning, told them, look, we're going to give you some time to get out of here. And if you're not up by that time, you'll be arrested. You could leave by this street over here or that street over there. And that's how it is. Here we go.
Give it a few minutes to clear this area. Points of egress are High Street or Wall Street. No one will stop you from leaving. If you do not leave, you will be arrested. We will give you time to leave. If you do not leave, you will be arrested.
That was it. Israel's one of the ones that chose not to leave, and she was arrested. Her and another little privileged tart over there, a girl by the name of Isabel Jennifer Seward, a 20-year-old, ultra-privileged white protester. She is the niece, wait, she says the, oh, the niece of it. She killed a Vermont couple in a car crash, she calls, crossing a double line. She killed Chet and Connie Hawkins back in 2020. The only reason she says this the niece of the two that were killed, the only reason she wasn't charged with murder was because she has a rich daddy. She should be in prison. Her dad's a high-ranking UPS executive, William Seward. She was 16 at the time. When she was detained by NYPD at Columbia, she listed her home address as a $2.2 million mansion in Northeast Atlanta. Following the crash, she pled no contest to a civil traffic ticket and issued a $220 fine, which her mom paid.
And now she's protesting.
Yeah, and now she sits in Columbia in a tent city. Well, not anymore. She was in jail. She got out. She may have gone back. No, she was kicked out as well, I believe, from Bernard. They've new at least 30 tents now are sprawled across the west lawn of the school. Piles and piles of food. People are bringing, just going to the grocery store and buying tons of food and just putting it on tables there so they can just live there.
Who's the person is buying all these tents too? They're not cheap tents.
No, I'm sure some of these rich kids' daddy's Amex card got punked up for $500 for a tent or two. It has been absolute chaos there in New York City. And here's the NYPD spokesperson telling you that Columbia does not really want the help of New York City police.
Good morning, everyone. I just want to address a few of the issues that have been coming up over the past few days regarding what's happening at Columbia and around Columbia. And I first just want to start with the sort of key point, which is Columbia University is private property. And so the nature of police action, what we can do, what we can't do, is very, very different on private property than it is on a public street. So if there's a crime in progress, if someone's in danger, as with any private property, we're going to go in. We're going to keep people safe. If someone, for example, is being attacked, we're going to go in to Columbia University as we would to a private home to help protect that person. But absent exigency, absent some ongoing crime, we cannot just go on to Columbia campus as we see fit.
I wonder if the students there that are shouting things like death to America, I wonder if they might be asking for their student loan to also be forgiven.
Of course they are.
Death to America as soon as that loan's paid off. they have reset to, or they have returned to, they've canceled all in-person classes at Columbia, meanwhile.
So now you have a university that's completely shut down.
Not for a pandemic, for a an anti-Semitic, anti-Jew hysteria, basically. You've got a rabbi there at Columbia had warned all students before they went to cancel all in-person classes, warned students, Jewish students, to just go home and do not come back to this campus until it's safe. I've seen video of them. There's a Hasidic student. I've seen video of them literally. Have you seen that video of the poor kids trying to get in to go to class?
They're blocked, yeah.
They'll not let him in the school. If some guy probably, you know, has nothing to do with anything remotely with the IDF or anything. He just happens to be Jewish. And for that reason alone, he was not allowed in school. The guy's paying 90 grand a year just like everybody else. And they will not let him in. They took the, canceled the ID, the pass card of a Jewish professor there. He's been out vocal about defending Jewish people, but they just won't. I mean, they won't let him into the campus here.
I have not just a civil right. A civil right as a Jewish person to be on campus. I have a right as a professor employed by the university to be on campus. They deactivated my card. These are 5 lawsuits in happening, but we don't want to do it. We just want to be Jewish and professors.
They say that literally the events of the last few days, especially last night, made it clear that Columbia University's public safety cannot guarantee Jewish students. They cannot guarantee the Jewish students' safety. I saw them circle a group of Jews, arm in arm, not allowing them to leave that circle to go into the to go to school. I mean,
oh yeah, which is hilarious next? Because there was one. They had pictures side by side of actual brown shirts, Nazi soldiers on stair steps. Kind of doing the same thing, blocking area, and then you could see in side by side the picture of there's Columbia students side by side blocking students from getting up there, and you're going there, but there's the same ones that you immediately yell, "Oh, Trump is the you know, pig faced Nazi."
Yeah.
I'm Hochul. Governor Kathy Hochul. I came to Columbia University this morning to address the Columbia University family. I took the time to meet with law enforcement, NYPD, the deputy mayor, the president of the college, and to talk about security here, because my number one job is to keep people of the state safe. And right now, there are many students not feeling safe on campus. So we talked about the strategies, how the state can be supported.
Here's the thing. On how someone's safety is regarded, it's obvious there. If you've seen anything or read anything about Columbia and what's going on in New York City, in terms of the anti-Semitic, anti-Jew hatred and rhetoric and activity going on, that they are not safe. And when a Jewish student in Columbia says, "I don't feel safe," they mean like they don't feel safe. Like they could be beaten, hurt, you know, God knows what. When liberals don't feel safe, it's when they go to a school that it happens to be a school resources officer who has a gun and he sits in an office down the hall. They don't feel safe. That's a different kind of safe. Completely different kind of safe. idiot. Donald Trump's hush money trial is underway. They, Letitia James tried to get his bond for some reason, the bond that they agreed upon, that a judge agreed upon and had been settled. She tried to poke holes in it. The theory is that if she could get the judge to somehow deny the bond that had already been agreed upon and posted, that while Trump was in his hush money trial, she'd go to work seizing all of his property. Her hopes were dashed. I'll have audio from Alina Haba, who reports from the courtroom next. It's the Shannon Burke Show.
Don't settle for the ordinary cookie-cutter talk stations. They're made as one-size-fits-all. You want a real Florida station? Well, you got one. Crack a brew and welcome to the party. We are Florida Man Radio.
Friday, this show will be live at Leesburg Bike Fest. And it's going to be a hoop. I'm going to tell you exactly where we're going to be. I wrote it down. Do you know the place?
Blue Island Sportswear.
Blue Island Sportswear on Main. This is we're there on Friday. The Bike Fest, which is kick-ass, by the way. 26th to the 28th downtown. Low Cash Friday night. Sugar Ray Saturday night. And?
Frankie Ballard.
Sorry. Frankie
Ballard. Not Ballard. Frankie Valley, not like Frankie, Heather thought.
Yes, not Frankie Valley.
Which would have been an odd choice for a Bike Fest, but sure.
Sure would have. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's a great event. This is, been doing it since 97. We're out there on Friday. Should be fun. Before we get into the, by the way, Trump is farting, allegedly. According to Maggie Haberman, he's sleeping and farting.
To the point where his lawyers have had disgusted looks on their face the whole time.
They say, struggling. The headline reads, struggling with the smell. Donald Trump farts up a storm during his criminal trial as a foul stench fills the courtroom.
That's right. I'm farting all over everybody.
That's why he went and spent $700 on McDonald's.
This is the sound in Columbia students there as they finally get the American flag down off the flagpole. You'll know the exact point in which it hits the ground.
Viva, viva Palestina!
You notice they feminized Palestine. It's viva, viva Palestina. Viva, viva, and now it's Hispanic. It's Latin all of a sudden. Viva, viva Palestina.
Well, Hamas is the other side going, what are you doing?
What are you saying? I don't know. This is disturbing. I don't think she's too far off. This is Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's talking to Alex Jones. And she, you know, we all see this witch hunt. I think most of America see this as really going out of the way. All of this after one man, and just, you know, it's obvious. But she says the quiet part out loud.
I agree with you. I think people are believing a complete conspiracy theory, thinking, oh, we're just going to win this election. Yeah, you're right. He is not invincible. He is a man. He's fighting as hard as possible. He's putting all he has into trying to win the election. But you also got to remember, he's at the same time he's trying to run for president again, he's having to put everything he has into defending himself against these rigged trials and this unbelievable perversion of our justice system. And the Democrats aren't sorry about it. They aren't going to back off of what they are doing. They literally want him dead. Benny Thompson introduced a bill to take away his Secret Service protection.
Did you know that? Benny Thompson introduced legislation to strip former President Trump of his Secret Service protection.
That's how serious they are. They want President Trump dead. They want to lock him up in jail for the rest of his life so that he dies in jail. And they want to take away his Secret Service protection so that he is murdered somewhere in jail, possibly. This is how serious they are.
Why don't they just do it themselves?
That's too obvious now.
Yeah, it really would be, wouldn't it? I got a guy I called real quick. He owes me a favor. Alina Haba was in, she's been in, with Trump as Letitia James. She put up this ridiculous amount for him to post a bond. He couldn't get that amount. He went to an appeals court. The appeals court lowered it from $535 million to $175 million. Trump got a bond company to accept the bond, to accept it and put up the possible, to put up the cash. And Letitia James was not happy at all, one little bit. She wanted to seize his property. She was just watering at the mouth.
Oh, yeah. She's been frothing the mouth to figure out a way to get it, because they posted it. Well, originally she got they put the 175 up. She was mad that they dropped the appeals down. Then this company posted it. And then she found a little loophole, like, okay, well, we needed this information, which they've never asked before.
Right.
They finally get that information in there. Oh, no, that's not good enough. We need this form filed as well. And then they filed that form. And
they went in front of a judge. Here's Alina Haba on that hearing.
It's a disgrace to the American judicial system. He should not have two teams of lawyers here today. He should not even be here today because he did nothing wrong. It is the epitome of a witch hunt. I just left where a judge asked us whether our cash bond, sitting in. Ms. James wanted to argue and say that our cash somehow isn't green enough. We wasted time. The judge made a comment saying he thought that money market accounts could go down under the amount. He doesn't even understand basic principles of finance. But this was the man that decided that we owed money and my client committed fraud. We are going to attack every single one. 1 hour, the attorney general and that judge realized quickly that they had no idea what they were talking about. We came to an agreement that everything would be the same. We would modify terms, and that was it. This is where your taxpayer dollars are going, America. Right here. Witch hunt after witch hunt. President Trump's company was worth more in that case than it is now. And now what? We're here because of something that happened when he was in the White House that wasn't even wrong. It was not wrong. You hire lawyers to solve problems. Lawyers solve those problems. You pay them. That's it. This is a joke. It's an affront to the American Constitution. It's an affront to our judicial system. And it's an affront to every lawyer that cares about their license, that cares about what is right and wrong. I am sick of coming in front of the press and saying this, but you have to, because you people need to understand what is going on. God forbid you put an accounting thing in for legal counsel. It's legal counsel. And now our taxpayer dollars, my time, our attorney's fees, are all here because they're afraid of 2024. And you know what? They should be, because the American people are not stupid. They see what's going on.
I think that when all of this, I have full faith that this fraud trial, he'll win it on appeal. This money, this payola thing, I don't see how he prevails. I don't see how he doesn't prevail there. And I do believe, regardless of the outcome of the 2024, even if he wins, even if he doesn't win, I think that there's going to be, if he does win, there will definitely be. If he doesn't, maybe not. There has to be some attention paid to malicious prosecution and these people that have done it and the lengths that they've gone to do it. And, you know, hopefully Letitia James could lose her job over it.
Yeah, because it starts to border on being malicious at some point when Letitia kind of has won already a big victory. She had got that giant judgment brought down against him. And it's still, I mean, $200 million as a bond is no laughing matter.
No.
So, but she's for some reason just, I think because she knows that the appeals case is so weak that on their side, right, that at some point it's probably going to get tossed out. So she's trying her hardest to get something out of this before it falls apart.
She really thinks that if she seizes something of his, that will, I mean, maybe she, that maybe she's, that's, her name goes down in history and she's a hero. When it's exactly the opposite. You've just perverted the justice system wilder than we've ever seen.
I almost think she has in her mind that she's going to be the next Giuliani, like that she's going to run on the fact that, look, how Giuliani went after the mobsters and things like that. She's going to run on, and she's going to be a future mayor. It's going to be Mayor James because of the fact she can run on the fact that she took down the big crime boss that was Don Trump.
Yeah, and in the process, it caused a massive investment exodus from the city of New York City. Real estate people will no longer do business there. There are a lot of people that won't do business there any longer. So much attention has been paid to Donald Trump that the entirety of that city's problems have been almost completely ignored. They've dug their own grave here. And when all the dust settles from this witch hunt stuff and the election, I think that a lot of them are going to be stuck in that hole.
Yeah. Well, the history will go down with the fact that, maybe she gets Trump, but she'll also be the one that allowed, I don't know, women just getting punched in the face down the street, open air street markets. You can't go down the subway without having to be frisked by the National Guard first.
All of that true. I had a audio piece on the on those markets. They literally showed one guy had some stuff. The guy had the photographic evidence. They showed the stuff. They laid out on a towel or something on the street with the stamp of the store literally across the street in the background. The store's right there. It's like he stole it from the store, took it across the street, and tries to sell it to someone else at a discount.
You can still see the employee on the other side yelling at him.
Hey, wait! Oh, it is something else. Do you have the... Oh, you sent me
the Bill Maher stuff.
Yeah. I want to get to that. Dogs now... City-dwelling dogs especially are being slammed as settler colonialist dogs.
As in the dogs are taking land from, like, indigenous dogs?
Yeah, more or less. They say that dogs are out. The dog owners are using their dogs to mark their colonial territory and gentrifying neighborhoods in this weird debate. There's an article that quotes a woman named Mia of Prospects Lefferts Gardens, a proud owner of two terriers, who noticed a growing anti-dog sentiment brewing in their community. A post about picking up dog poop spiraled into a wacky conversation and accusations that dogs of the Prospects Lefferts Gardens area were gentrifying the neighborhood. Mia, New York-born Latina, told the outlet, she wondered, are they saying that only white people have dogs? Another woman had an off-leash dog apparently confronted in a park by someone filming her. She was asking me why I thought it was special, why my dog didn't need to be leashed. Was it because of my white privilege? Dogs in big cities are essentially, one lady says, settler colonial, a way for their owners to move into, occupy more of the urban space than they are allotted, while making it everyone else's problem.
Yeah. See, they don't ever talk about the fact that these settler dogs traded a couple begging strips to the indigenous dogs for all that land. It was quite a stolen swap right there.
This term settler colonial has been recently adopted. These activists that talk about everything from gentrification, poor environmental stewardship, capitalism, all, you know. It's all settler colonial.
I do love the lady in the article, too, that questioned her own white privilege because she could have the dog off a leash.
Yeah. They say saying settler colonial when you mean kind of rude is really awful. One person said, one guy said BRB, creating a market to sell, trade our personal urban space allotments. So you with a dog are more than a person without a dog, and your dog is you're colonizing the park by taking up the space of a person plus a dog. And maybe your dog, because your dog relieves itself in the park, that it's somehow colonizing or settling. It's settling, right?
Yeah, I mean, the yoga guy can't use the grass anymore for yoga because, you know, there's all the dog urine there. So
wait, dogs like to mark other dogs' urine. So is that like this dog, like your dog goes down, it takes a pee, whizzes on the, it marks a spot. Another dog comes along later, smells it, goes, hey, this is now mine. Is he resettling? Is it just constantly colonizing and resettling?
Yes, all day long. That's why it's terrifying people there. They're seeing just constant resettling of the land.
This guy says, we need to pass a common sense supply side policy to maintain an agreed upon amount of dogs in major cities through licensing and registration fees. Total liberal progressive. Yep. Canine oppressors. colonizing the urban spaces. That is a hoot. So, Bill Maher made a... I haven't seen the series. Have you watched any of this Quiet on the Set?
No, I haven't yet.
It is a documentary done in part by Kenan... What's his name?
Thompson.
He was a child actor at Nickelodeon. And it's got the... We've heard a lot of other... A lot of other stories that have come out of
Nickelodeon. Yeah, I haven't watched this documentary specifically, but there were some very dark years in Nickelodeon for probably about 4 or 5, 6 years.
Yeah.
Like in the early 2000s, where it was very creepy. If you ever go back and actually try to watch some of those shows, apparently that producer had a Bigfoot fetish, so there's a lot of episodes of the girls like barefoot or stomping on squishy stuff or like just weird... there's like a zucchini through a wall.
Yeah, like an obvious like a glory hole
thing. Yeah.
What is going on? He mentions that here. And he makes a very important point because now, Hollywood is freaking out about this. How dare they treat children this way?
And finally, new rule. As one of the few people in the public eye who's gone through life and never had kids, someone has to tell me, why am I always having to defend them? I don't even like kids, but I also think it's every adult's job to protect them. Have you all been watching the Max documentary called Quiet on Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV? OMG. Nickelodeon, it wasn't a studio, it was Neverland Ranch with Craft Services. It is just scene after scene, clip after clip, of the child stars of their day being subjected to obviously inappropriate, highly sexualized degradation and quite a few pickles going through glory holes. I was grossed out and I've gone camping with John Waters.
That's funny.
I kid you, John. I love you. So I don't know if this documentary is the talk of your town, but it is out here because it didn't just expose a dangerous workplace. It also exposed hypocrisy. Because it must be pointed out that when the evil governor of Florida was saying the exact same thing about kids and creepy stuff at Disney that liberals now find intolerable at Nickelodeon, he was dismissed as a hick and a bigot. But why would a kids' content factory like Disney be all that different than the one at Nickelodeon? A 2014 CNN report discovered that at least 35 Disney employees had been arrested for sex crimes against children. And in 2021, Disney child star Alison Stoner confessed she only narrowly survived the toddler to train wreck pipeline. The next year, child star Cold Sprouse told the New York Times that young actresses at the Disney Channel were heavily sexualized from an early age. You know, Willie Sutton said he robbed banks because that's where the money is. And the reason we find pedophiles in the Boy Scouts and the rectory and kids' TV is that's where the kids are. DeSantis wasn't wrong. But we're so tribal now, the left will overlook child f***ing if the guy from the wrong party calls it out.
That's the takeaway. The left will overlook child effing if the wrong party calls it out.
Sure, Nickelodeon messed up Amanda Bynes, but the Mickey Mouse Club was where Britney Spears got her start, and she's perfectly fine.
Have you seen the latest videos of her? Same dancing in weird outfits, doing sexualized.
Yeah, she...
She needs to get on OnlyFans, what she needs to do. Stop I'm giving that stuff away for free.
Yeah, at this point, I'm surprised she hasn't. I don't...
And get this, after Brian Peck, who was one of the lead creeps at Nickelodeon, served 16 months in prison for the molesting he did there, Disney hired him, naturally, to work on a children's series. Oh, for pedophiles in Hollywood, it's a small world after all.
Yeah. DeSantis was some kind of right-wing nut job and a bigot. The Democrat Party, the Democratic National Convention, they're just, they want to know why people just don't like Kamala Harris. Matter of fact, they've hosted focus groups in which some of them have asked whether even Biden likes Harris. Her approval rating is always in the 30s. Some people believe that getting her out on the trail will improve her standing with voters. Some of the focus groups, you know, they should do this more often. They should do it with, I don't know if they're doing it just with Democrats. They ought to do it with everybody. Because we'll tell you. Many people are pointing out in these focus groups her laugh. That annoying laugh.
I mean, the laugh is annoying.
And the placement of the laugh.
Yeah.
And the nodding of the head. You know, the stupid laugh. What were you going to say?
And just the way she talks to people.
Yeah. Down.
When she explains everything like she's talking to a first grade class, that's, people don't want that.
White House was pissed that she had an immediate ceasefire in Gaza position. Biden aides were annoyed by the idea that they should lean on her more on some issues and weren't pleased by reports of Harris holding private meetings with top Dems to discuss the presidential campaign. They've got her hammered on abortion rights right now, and most people think that's probably where they, you know, let her do that. And I don't know that she has much of an image to sell other than as a prosecutor. She put a ton of people in, more people in jail for minor weed causes than any other AG. And she laughs weird. And she blew Willie Brown, right? That's it.
Quite the resume.
Yeah, not bad at all. AOC says that she's praising her advocacy for abortion rights, identifying as a strength for the campaign. She says there's a certain level of authority that comes with having a uterus and being a woman.
Yeah, I've never seen that. There's never one time where during like some sort of discussions or a meeting, there's like, we've got to do this. And you know why? It's because of my uterus.
Excuse me, I have a uterus. You better listen to what I have to say.
Whoa. The authority in here is insane. Dial it back a little bit.
Oh, that is just... The L.A. mayor's home has been broken into for a second time. Karen Bass. At the same time, she is pleading for more criminals to be released from prison.
I love it. I think every time one of them gets released, the guy that's, the officer that released the guy, he's like, all right, here, by the way, congratulations, you're out of jail. Here's Karen Bass's address. She'd like to personally thank you. Good on. Have fun.
If you'd like to thank her. Yeah. Individual smashed a window, gained entry to the house, the Getty house, while it was occupied. The Mayor Bass and her family weren't injured. They are safe. The dude's been held on $50,000, according to jail records. Ephraim Matthew Hunter is the name. The Getty House is owned by Los Angeles. I mean, it's like, it's like Gracie Mansion.
Yeah, it's a, it's a mayor's house.
Well, at the same time, I can't believe it. That place gets broken, maybe because it's not her personal property,
It's still, it doesn't look, when you're already the weak on crime mayor.
The weakest, one of the weakest on crime.
Yeah, and then people are breaking into the mayor's mansion over and over again.
Repeatedly. It's not a good look at all. Not far away from there, they're homeless people. She's the same one that also asked the rich people to fork up money to help, she asked for, the city's wealthy to either fork up money to help with the homeless situation or offer their homes in some way. Right?
Yeah. She wants them to pay for everything. The rich people.
The rich
which is almost like that's some sort of plan in there where she is allowing crime to skyrocket to the point where it's actually finally getting to the rich people's houses and then going, well, look, you got to help out. It's getting to your house now.
Right. You're right. Maybe that is part of the, well, you know, they are, you know, they're coming to your neighborhood these days.
So maybe you should throw a little donation in there.
Maybe we can, you know, do an extra drive-by, you know. All right, when we return, it's lights out for the self-checkout for many, many big retailers. Turns out that ain't working too well. And Biden's DOJ, or I'm sorry, Biden's EEOC has sued a chain of convenience stores for doing criminal background checks. Because it disproportionately affects, you know, the rest of the story. Hang on. It's the Shannon Burr Show. Leesburg Bike Fest, Friday. Come join us. Say hello. Brandy's coming to town to do the broadcast for us.
Oh, good. We get the table.
Yeah, the spider table. It's good. Our engineer. I wanted to play this piece of audio. It's kind of a little choppy. The guy made it on his phone. He is in Australia. And some police have paid him a visit to his home. They brought along with them a nurse from the public health because there may be some concern about his, I don't know if his mental health is an issue, but there some people brought it to the police's attention. They wanted to talk about people have raised concerns about your views, that you're concerned about what's going on in Australia. It's a cop or two cops and a nurse. And they're just, you know, imagine in America, a knock on your door and it's a police officer and they want to come in and talk to you about your views. And they brought along a mental health professional because you may... I don't know. Were they going to arrest him and put him in a...
Yeah. In a country like that, yes, they will.
Hello, my name's Sean. I'm a senior nurse. I work at the NHS.
Yep.
Two cops.
Name and number, please.
National Health.
Yeah, PC Green, Echo Bravo 428.
John Joe, PC Turner, Hastings Police Station.
Thank you.
959.
So what's this about then?
So it was just a
few concerns. I won't film you, I'll just get it recorded.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Just a few concerns.
It's smelly right now, sorry.
Dog.
He's like a mop, he just picks everything up.
He's lovely. What's his name?
The guy's been very friendly with him. He's not being a dick. You know, you don't have to invite, I don't know, maybe you have to in Australia. You don't have to here.
Klaus. So why are you here today, sorry? No, you can all sit down. It's not a problem. You've literally just missed the missus and that. They've gone out like 10 minutes ago. Yeah.
Hey, you just missed the missus. What's going on?
He seems like he's a pretty stable dude.
Like, yeah, like they would have made some tea or, you know.
So what's the issue?
So it was just to, you know, obviously what we've been told, that you might have a few concerns, a few things that are bothering you at the moment.
Yeah.
Whether there's
That's
anything...
bothering everyone else in the country right now. So what are the concerns you're here for? Because this is religious discrimination right now, you know. Because you wouldn't be knocking on Muslims' doors if they had this conversation, because I already know why you're here. So this is religious.
Why do you think we're here?
I don't know, what's the priest told you?
They're just, people have raised concerns.
What concerns?
About your views.
What views?
That you've got concerns about what's going on in Australia.
He's talking about the massive amount of Muslims, I guess, that are immigrating there.
Yeah, so I'm an Orthodox Christian. Now you've turned up at my house because I went and see my priest. So I'm going to get you all on film because this is going straight to my solicitor.
So what are your concerns? Is there anything that we can help with?
No.
Oh, as if the cops come by, you've got concerns about some immigration issues in your country and your freedom of religion in your country. So the cops told you, what can we help you with? Can we help you straighten it out? We'll straighten it out for you.
Firstly, I don't mean any disrespect to any of you. I don't want to sound abrupt here. If you can tell me why you're here.
So I think as PC Sands explains, so there was a report about some beliefs being expressed. So the reason I'm here is I work for the NHS. Sure. And if you're willing, I'm happy to talk and listen with you.
No, that's
about
fine.
If you've got any concerns about your well-being.
No, I'm fine.
Suddenly, we had to ring somebody from the National Health because your views may mean you need some help, mental health, maybe talk things through. He'll tell you how you're supposed to think, and we can get all this settled out.
Yeah, it seems like there seems to be thinking there's just too much immigration going on. And, well, I mean, your religion's maybe being persecuted, but here's a mental health doctor to help you out here, tell you what your views should be.
Yeah, Klaus, out. Sorry.
No, because he's just jarring on voice.
You can't sit down, mate.
My understanding is, I'm not a police officer, I'm a nurse. So my understanding is...
Because I've questioned about the church not acting on the behalf of Christians, you're now turning up here with mental health nurses, assuming that I'm some right-wing nutter.
So no one assumes anything. Can I explain my point of view? And you're happy...
Right-wing nutter.
I'm happy to... Discuss.
No, that's fine,
That's all there is right there. I mean, that's a nightmare. He went to talk to a priest about the church. The priest called the cops about his views. And now the police have stopped by with a mental health professional to talk about his views. The man, there's no talk about him expressing violence.
Yeah, it's not like he was on there going, if I see a brown person, I'm going to have to stab them.
Right. He's concerned that his church is not doing enough to help the people in terms of the problem they may have in immigration with Muslims coming into Australia is what I get from it. But, there's some pretty troubling views that I share on my social media. I don't know that they would bring a middle professional
You're
by.
You're going to get to really know the mental health professional by name after a while. Hey, Tom, how's it going?
Hey, Shannon, we got to stop by just check you out again. We had a few more complaints about your views. All right, we got to do it on the front lawn because you're not allowed in my house. No more self-checkout for Walmart and other big retailers. Theft is the major thing, right?
Yes.
Why did they think that? I mean, when I walk into the local Publix now, there are two or three people that are standing there to police you as you do your self-checkout.
But every time I've watched that kid is a 16, 17-year-old kid. The moment a hot girl walks by or another coworker, they stop paying attention to you. I literally could just swipe without ever actually beeping it if I really wanted to.
Remember when this was going to be, this is another kind of a, I don't know if it's an I told you so, but wow, what a boomerang. We're going to save a lot of money. A lot of people just get 10 or less or 15 or less items. It'll be really quick. They do it themselves and bag it. We don't have to hire a 20-hour person there. But apparently they're seeing quite a bit of shrinkage. Dollar General reduced self-checkouts, thousands of their locations. Later removed the option from all their locations. They removed it entirely at 300 locations most impacted by shoplifting.
Yeah, the one that's up the street that I every once in a while pop in for just if I need like pool floaties or something like that.
Right.
Theirs has got like a box over top of it where they closed it off.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So what do? You go in and you go, boop, you ring up something, then you kind of don't ring up something, then you boop, ring up something.
You do the behind the back. Yeah, boop, you throw whatever you want behind the back, go around and bag it. If you really wanted to steal from it, they were never designed for what people use them for. They were designed for a person that needs two things, three things, 10 items or less. That made sense. You don't need a 10 items or less line with two cashiers and a bag person. If it's a person that can, I got a head of lettuce and some cheese. Let me just swipe this out and get out of there. But a lot of you go to Publix and there will be a person with like three carts full of probably $800 worth of monthly groceries.
Who wants to bag all that stuff themselves?
And then
God forbid you have some beer or some wine. You got to call over someone with a approval card and type in a code. They say it's an area of the store people can steal things, and retailers are very actively trying to reduce that type of stuff. In Target's case, they put more restrictions around self checkout, trying to reduce the losses, but Big businesses shying away from it.
I'm glad it's finally going away for the most part in there. Again, I use it if it's a couple things, but putting the onus on somebody that's not an employee, that doesn't go through the employee handbook, doesn't have any idea what they're doing. How many times I've seen them, the one person supposed to be watching four lanes of self-checkout, have to go over and help the grandmother who can't figure out how to key in an onion.
Right. I was just about to say, help me how to key in the damn onion. And meanwhile, homie in the back's shoving razor blades through, around his, not having to pay for them. You could work in a team.
Yeah. It would work like that. Yeah. All you have to do is bring the one person over. Hey, I'm trying to buy some alcohol. There's the car. Oh, I've got an onion and an apple.
Is this a rutabaga? Where is that? I can't find it on the.
Is this a Yukon Gold or a... I can't tell the potatoes apart.
I think it's great. Like sometimes I'll run in the Publix to get a sub and I'll just run up. Boop, beep, boom. It's a quick transaction, but
it's what it was. Supposed to be used for, right. But for anything else, that there's a reason why they train those people. They have to go through the employee handbook. They got to go through the whole thing of being. They can be fired if they don't ring things up correctly. Right.
Heather,
hold on just a sec.
No, she's on the phone.
Hello, I'm here.
Did we interrupt the phone call?
Yes, you did.
Was that an important one?
It's Sparky. He wants to talk about Publix.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. Should we take the call first, and then we'll get to
I
you?
Mean, if you'd like.
Okay, let's do that.
Okay, I'll get the second one.
Sparky. Hey, Sparky.
Hey, what's up, Shando?
You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, man, I just wanted to talk to you about the self-checkouts. I mean, I know Walmart, Winn-Dixie, Family Dollar, they're all doing away with them, and I'm actually putting 8 new self-checkouts in the Publix right here in Inverness.
Huh.
And I'm thinking to myself, I actually talked to the Publix manager. I was like, why are you guys putting them in when everybody else is taking them out? And he looked at me and said, well, Publix is just last in line.
Well, I think also, and I'm not trying to be racist here, but geographically it might make sense to keep it in neighborhoods that are expensive gated community type neighborhoods. You know what I mean? Cause Sheila is not likely to swipe some makeup.
Our Publix here in Inverness, I mean, I know it's a smaller town, but they're doing away with them in Inverness because of just what you were talking about. The shoplifting.
Yep. All right.
I mean, people are just, they go in and they ignore the people when they're going out, like the Walmart.
Right, right.
67-year-old guy checking the receipt.
Yeah, those
He's
days
not paying old. Attention.
Good point. Sparky, I appreciate it, brother. I got to move on. I got to get to Heather. Thank you.
Who else? All right, brother. Have a good one, man.
Yeah. Is someone else there?
Lee.
Looks like Lee. Lee, quickly. We got to get to Heather.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Great show.
Good. Thank you.
I got a question real quick. Number one, easy. What are you doing buying a head of lettuce from Dollar General?
No, I buy pool floaties from the Dollar General. They're from Dollar General. Lettuce from Publix.
I got you. And also, I've had this problem down south here. Every time I go to check out any beer or wine or anything, the people, they want to scan my ID and I tell them no. And then they say, well, we're not selling it to you. Is that, I thought legally they're not allowed to do that. Therefore,
the scan on the back that the retailers use only reveals your age. It doesn't say your driving record or your home address or any of that stuff.
That's what you think. But I'm telling you,
I got to get on to another. I don't have time for this paranoia, Lee.
Later.
All right, Heather. Come on. Heather has answers at gmail.com for all of you. If you want to, if you're looking for some help, you'd like to run it by the Berkshire Brain Trust, Heather has answers at gmail.com. Heather?
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I was on mute. Okay. Dear Heather, Shannon, and Easy, a girl I know is struggling and has asked me for food money several times. I live in Toronto, but I'm from Florida originally. I go back to Florida to visit, and last time I was there, I met her at a festival, and we spent some time together. We added each other on Facebook, and we've messaged each other quite a bit since. A couple months ago, she told me she broke up with her boyfriend and was homeless. She claimed she hadn't eaten in a couple days and needed money for food. I was confused as to why she was asking me of all people, but she seemed extremely desperate, so I sent her $20. Later on, she claimed she was starving again and offered to send me a suggestive picture of herself in exchange for money for food. I declined the picture offer because that's weird, but I gave her $20. She asked me again this week, promising to eventually pay me back, and I told her that she didn't owe me anything, but I told her I would give her $20 only if she sent me a picture of the receipt for the groceries. An hour later, I get a receipt for groceries. The screenshot was about $20. I'm not sure how to handle this. I told her I'm not going to be your personal bank account, but if you are truly homeless and hungry with no other options, I'll help you not starve. A part of me is suspicious, but the food receipt was proof she's clearly desperate. I'm quite well off financially, so this isn't hurting me. I'd rather be taken advantage of by a drug addict than allow someone to starve when I could have stopped it. Two things do bother me. How am I the only person willing to occasionally help her when I don't even live in the same country? And how does she pay for her phone? I told her to look for local charities where she lives, but she claims they won't help her. I've given her $20 a few times over the course of a couple months, and I'm not sure how I should continue to handle the situation, but I'm tired of giving her money. Casey in New Smyrna Beach.
Okay, so he's here. She is...
I don't know if Casey's a boy or a girl.
I think it's a boy. If she offered to send nudies, right?
I was thinking it was a girl.
It's 2024.
Yeah, you
can
right,
send
okay.
nudies to your two ladies girl. Can send nudies okay. to each other.
I fully approve of that. Yeah, he's only met her one time at a music festival. That's what it sounded
it
like.
It sounds like yeah, only maybe once, but they've kept in touch. I mean, you just stop sending money. You cut the person off. I don't know what kind of relationship they formed. That
I'm wondering if she's really super hot. You know, is the I mean, what I'm curious is his relationship. Did Casey just meet this person or her relationship, and go to a meet her at a fish show? You know, they hit the mosh pit together and did some ecstasy or something, and that, and then shared phone numbers. That was it. You know, or Facebook. Friends, or
I know this exact type of hippie girl that you meet at a festival. Like, I know those types,
yeah.
And that's exactly how they are. They'll be, they'll hit down their list and be like, oh, and they're not being, I don't even think it's malicious sometimes, because it is, they are buying food with it, but they're just like, oh, I know, it's one of the, it sounds like one of these girls that just goes happy go lucky through life and just, oh, I need some money from maybe Tom can give me a little money.
Yeah, I mean, she probably got a couple other dudes.
Yeah, nobody else. I'll show you my tees. Will that get it? This is exactly that. Yeah, the girl.
At that point, it gets weird, because at that point, it's like you're paying for pornography. You know, I'm not. You're both consenting and all, but you know,
she's kind of a prostitute at that point,
right? You're kind of a. I don't. He sounds like this Casey person. I'm going to assume it's a male. Sounds like he's super way too nice.
Very
but
nice.
Here's the good part. He's only out $60 or $80 or whatever it is.
Right. Quit now.
And she hasn't asked for like, hey, I need, you know, bail money. I need, you know, $1,100 or whatever, you know. So maybe get some tea picks out of the deal. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, if it's worth it, it's worth it.
Just say, look, yeah. I'll send you $20 for some food. But, you know, if you feel like sharing, go ahead. We're both adults.
I'm not using the $20 to purchase said tea picks.
No,
but
completely separate.
If you feel like you're in the goodness of your heart, you want to send a few.
You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours type of deal. That's all. That's weird.
Or just stop sending her the money and cut it off. Like, she's not even here. You could ghost her and never have to worry about seeing her again.
I mean, at least she's frugal. Did she only ask for 20 or he just sent 20?
I think she asked for it each time.
For this specific amount.
For gross, yeah.
And she could be a drug dealer, and that's like one hit of whatever she likes.
Not much.
Yeah, she's got a receipt, too, that she bought food with it.
Yeah, I guess. You want to trust that, but, you know.
I think this is that type of girl that's that festival chick that you meet that's just like, and they live, go through life on the kindness of other people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she lives in a
I wonder if they have if they've ever, you know, had sex or been intimate before. Totally. Yeah, these festivals, anything goes, you know.
Anything. Yeah. Right. All right. Dear Heather, I'm in my mid-20s and had a pretty long lasting one night stand. I don't know exactly what that means. It just sounds like it's a long span of hours.
I've had one, yeah.
Okay. I do not know till after I did not know until after that we had had... Let me try that again. I did not know until after we had had sex that he was married. I found out from digging a little bit on him, and to my surprise, he was in fact married. However, the sex part isn't the most important part of the story. I told his wife everything. Ooh. Time stamps, even as much evidence, which was damn near nothing.
She ratted him out?
I could give. Yes. Because wow. I thought what I was doing was a good act. Well, he told her every lie he could, saying that I'm a good liar, we never had sex, and I forced him to touch me. None of that happened. I'm 5'3", 120-pound girl, and he's 5'8", 160-ish. She is completely accusing me of being a liar. I'm ready to just walk away from this level of crazy nutso, but I hate not being validated, especially when I did nothing wrong, and I feel like I can help her by telling her what kind of jerk he is. I told her my story and my truth, and that's what I told her. I can't give more proof, so it's on her, right? Mary Beth in Gainesville.
I think...
Back
you,
off.
Just yeah, you can away. Walk away from it now, and I don't know why women feel they need to be validated, you know, in these situations. She did nothing wrong. She had a one-night stand with a guy who he probably represented himself to be single, because that's usually right. Something you ask before you, endeavor and such things. So he lied to her, and I don't know if she was really the right thing to go and tell her.
Yeah, she
wife.
Was just being vengeful, and I don't think it was necessary. You made a mistake with a person that you met that lied to you. Walk away. Get out right. of it. Get scot-free. You're clear at this point. Just run away.
And do you really... I mean, why would you go... you want revenge on him?
She probably feels like he lied to her. So, yeah, probably is somewhat of a revenge, but also, like, that whole sisterhood. Like, this guy is a cheater. You don't need to be with him kind of thing.
Ah. Protect the sisterhood, huh?
Yeah.
But I think people worry too much about other people's lives sometimes.
True.
You did the right thing where, in your mind, you told them everything, and you now have a clear conscience.
And now you can walk away.
You can walk away. If she right. doesn't believe you, she doesn't believe you. That's on her.
Right. You can't, you shouldn't have to try to convince her, you know? Just get away from it and
maybe
block.
Maybe she knows he's crazy like that, and he cheats on her. Maybe she knows that, and she likes ignoring it.
I don't know about that, but yeah, you can walk away and make sure the guy can't, you know, block his wife and all that stuff from all your stuff. Yeah. Man, that's some, look, this is the juicy stuff we love for Heather. Heather has answers. Heather has answers at gmail.com. If you have a tricky situation or not so tricky situation, and you'd
we'll
like
help
some
you
help
work up. Through it.
Or we'll just give you some BS advice and send you on your way.
We'll all enjoy it.
Thank you, Heather.
Thank you.
Heather has answers at gmail.com. And when we return, it's time to get into the remarks. I don't know about you, but if I found out that astronauts aboard the International Space Station have discovered in the space station a group of mutated bacteria that are thriving, and they're completely genetically and functionally distinct from anything on Earth, I don't believe they should ever be allowed to come back.
Nope, you guys are stuck up there. I've seen too many scary movies.
See you later. Is there a jettison button on that thing somewhere? We'll do it next. It's the Shannon Burke Show. Has hosted about 300 astronauts over its history, and they bring along their own microbes, you know, with them. As a result, there's a unique microbial population in the space station since 2019, and they have done the first extensive survey of the bacteria and fungus and whatnot aboard there, because, you know, they're influenced by different stuff like ventilation, humidity, air pressure, microgravity, radiation, carbon dioxide elevated stuff. So they adapt to survive in those environments, and they have found strains on board that they have mutated into different form that's genetically and functionally different from their earthly counterparts. They suggest that bacteria in space becomes more resistant to treatment of drugs and are able to openly persist in the microgravity environment in abundance. More resistant to antimicrobial treatment. Does that bother anybody?
Well, my understanding is the space station itself already smells like metal and farts.
Yeah. You think one of the things they bring up is a can of Febreze. You know, I sneak that out of my spacesuit.
Hey, fellas. Sounds good until all of a sudden the Febreze takes that all the systems out,
yeah.
Goes plummeting to Earth.
And I'm sure they hose them down when they get them back, right? They
I hope so.
Delouse them, and then and maybe if that stuff is growing so well in the confines of space, and once it hits Earth and gravity, and you know, it just poops out. Who knows? Interesting.
Oh, can we just stop making space bacteria that's able to kill us?
I get this is like an accidental thing that it exists there, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, they're always up there working experience with all this stuff, so.
Convenience store chain known as Sheetz. They got 700 stores in 6 states. The EEOC has filed a suit against the Pennsylvania-based Sheetz company, 2 subsidiaries. They're still a family-owned operation, alleging the chain's long-standing hiring practice have a disproportionate impact on minority applicants and thus run afoul of federal civil rights law. Those long-standing hiring practices, criminal background checks.
It's nothing like when you have a business that it's easy to steal from, you probably should maybe do, I don't know, a background check on everybody. Where is it illegal to do criminal background checks?
Apparently when it disproportionately affects minorities, that's when it runs afoul.
I can't think of a job that I haven't had to at least do some sort of background check in.
I didn't do one here, but
yeah, I think this was the only one.
Pretty much knew my background here. I mean, I get it. I mean, I don't get it. If you don't want to hire people that have a criminal record, that's completely your right to not hire people that have a criminal record. I do have a problem with people they say, oh, you failed your criminal background history. What does it mean that you failed it? That you've been convicted of a crime? So you only want to hire people that have never done anything wrong in their lives. Ever, never, never, ever. I mean, they could have done something. The one thing, whatever it was, they cheated on their taxes or they... Well, that would probably get you hired immediately. Or you were involved in a domestic situation, and nothing's happened since then. You've led a perfectly wonderful life, a law-abiding citizen, tax-paying citizen, and they go, oh, you failed your criminal background check because something that happened 20 years ago.
Yeah, I've never understood the actual what their standards are for the background check. Like, is it only monetary ones? Is it violent? Is it do they time out after a certain amount of time? Because if you got a felony 25 years ago, does that disqualify you over the guy that stole some beer 2 weeks ago?
Federal mandates and employment practices causing disparate impact because of race or other protracted classifications must be shown by the employer to be necessary to ensure the safe and efficient performance of the particular jobs. Well, you're in a you're operating a convenience. It's a big fuel and convenience store place, like a Wawa. And, I think it would be necessary to ensure the safe, efficient performance of the particular job. But, I mean, safe and efficient performance or whether or not you get the job. You can be safe and efficient. Can you be safe and efficient and rob from the place? Yeah.
Yeah, you can be the best, most efficient robber of all time.
They don't know. They wasn't immediately known how many job applicants have been affected, but they say that this unlawful hiring practice dates back to 2015. The only unlawful hiring practice is they don't want to hire people with a record, and that's your right to do. It's a family-owned company. They said they don't allege they're motivated by race, but they take issue with the way the chain uses criminal background checks to screen job seekers.
Wait, so. They're saying that, well, we can't prove they're being racist, but it does affect races by doing this. So.
Right. I mean, they're in fact acknowledging
that they're not being racist anyway.
Well, they're acknowledging the fact that more black applicants have criminal records. Right? They say they found black job applicants were deemed to have failed the company's criminal history screening, denied employment at the rate of 14.5%. Multiracial job seekers turned away 13.5%, and Native Americans denied at a rate of 13%. By contrast, a little under 8% of white applicants were refused employment because of a failed background check. Oh, they failed it, but they still got employed?
Yeah, I mean, that could be considered racist at that point. If you're,
or
if you say every white person, they're less likely to hit, they're less likely to worry about their failed background check if they're white, but they're more likely.
Or a little less, by contrast, few applicants were refused employment because of a failed, well, maybe it's the amount of, fewer than 8% failed their criminal background check.
I just think it's hilarious that last week, Biden shows up to a sheets, doesn't get much of a fanfare out of it. Very few people there, and he leaves. And then I think like the next 2 days later, they're like, we're putting a federal suit up against you. Now, Wawa, those guys were great.
I think this is the audio from him visiting the sheets. It's like a bad TV commercial.
Hey, hello, sir. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you doing, man?
How are you doing today?
How you doing, man?
My
son died in Iraq. You hear about that?
And this is a tip for you. I know it's home in pain.
Thank you so much. Do you mind with you?
Thank you, sir.
He said, I know it's home. Did he give him a penny of a tip? Was that a penny? Hold on.
It looked like
Here's
it.
Here's a tip for you. It's only a penny.
How are you doing today?
Oh, pleasure.
It's a pleasure to meet both of you.
You got my son.
This is for you, man. And this is for you, sir.
Yes. All right. And this is a tip for you. I know it's all been paid.
Thank you so much.
It's all been paid.
Oh.
Thank you, sir.
It was change. It was coins.
Thank you, sir.
You know, Her Honor, the mayor.
How are you, David?
I'm fine,
sir.
All right. What else
can I
tell
you?
Useless stuff I can say there, bro. I got to check out one thing here. What kind of tricks do you have?
So whatever you like, sir, we can customize it to your specifications. So we have smoothies, we have milkshakes, we have...
You know, when the president came to this particular sheet, said, bring out Billy, the new kid, the good kid, the guy that's really good. And he's, yes, sir, this, sir, yeah, we can make any drink you'd like, sir, anything.
Here's a tip for you. Here's two nickels. Back in my day, when I used to be up there on the plateau with Xi Jinping.
That's before my uncle was eating my cannibals.
Precious.
Milkshake.
Black and white. A black and white milkshake. We could perfectly make that for you, sir. So if you actually like to, right over there where it says order here, you can order it to your specification again. That includes whipped cream.
All right. Got to pause. Trying way too hard.
Sir, actually, you can't. I think that's actually the Wawa. You can't order the milkshake. You got to go to the machine over there and order.
I got
to
pour yourself, sir. they had treated him so nice at the sheet, so he made a phone call from Air Force One and said, drop that lawsuit on those sons of bitches. How about remarks?
Yes.
You want to? From the Florida Man radio app, powered by Morris Family Farms and Morganic Meats. This show's archives are there at podcast forum commercial-free. Don Miller's show's up there, archives, podcast forum commercial-free as well. You get Bubba's stuff anyway. We don't need to put it up there. Text the show, call the show, and hit the little button at the bottom and leave us your thoughts. Here we go.
You know, it's real funny because any country that we're actually at war, they pool all of their resources. None of their people have any free time because they're all working to make things for the war. They're all working toward the war effort. You know what I mean? These people, you can see what's going on in Ukraine. We sent a bunch of money over there, and they're taking it and having a great time. Party!
Yeah, there's no Rosie the River in Ukraine. There's not a rubber drive or, no. You know, any of that stuff.
Hey, Shannon. Kiev is twice the size of a booming economy after the war has started. Well, yeah, we've sent them $1 trillion. We've built their entire economy. We're supporting their retirement fund. We're doing all of it. Literally supporting their entire economy, including this active nightlife with those young smokes.
Do people like go to work, you think, in Kyiv? Like they have a job, they go to the bank?
Yeah,
or
I don't think, at least in Kyiv itself, I've yet to see any change. Like we had that one time where Biden showed up and just happened to be a missile go off nearby.
Alarm went off.
With Ilhan Omar's daughter, will you tell that dumb broad
Jail is a penalty. It's inconvenient. It sucks. That's the purpose.
True.
Hey, guys, calling about the Ukraine budget money and all that thing, where they send all that money to Ukraine. That kind of decision should be made by the American people, the taxpayers. It's our money going over there. I mean, it's like somebody else spending your money for you. The people should have a say of what, where our money goes and what it's used for. It's utterly, completely ridiculous.
I mean, obviously, I mean, if you want to talk about democracy and protecting our democracy from Donald Trump, who will destroy our democracy, think about the basics of democracy. It is the people, government by the people, through themselves directly or through elected representatives, meaning what happens to this country and where its money spent is supposed to be decided by the people. Well, would 70% say no, but the government says yes anyway? That's not a democracy. There's no way to enforce that. That's the hole right there. Wait, where are we going? Okay. Wait, did I play that one?
Terrorist Omar's daughter was probably treated better in jail here, protesting against America, than if she was in Palestine or wherever she comes from, protesting against her country there. So she's lucky.
Oh yeah.
And another thing, this is a continued one, sorry for blowing up the thing, but we're like penalized to work. I mean, they're punishing us by taking taxes out of our check that we work hard for. I mean, it's like a penalty and punishment, and then they spend our money. I don't know. I'm over the government. I'm over both sides, technically. All of them are ridiculous.
Some are sensible, rational, intelligent people that truly believe in the Constitution, and others just, it seems like they do nothing but work tirelessly to distort the Constitution. Like, that's their job. I'm dialing up some Ukrainian radio stations online here. Like, I don't see any talk radio stations yet.
That's because they're all party stations.
Yeah, they all have a great time.
I would love it if when President Trump is reelected, he locks up people like Letitia James day one. Hilarious.
Well, I'm sure there's a process involved.
Hey, guys, I heard DeSantis say that if he was in charge that any foreign students participating in these riots, their visa would be revoked and they would be deported, and any American students would be expelled. So that should quell a lot of this, although they're probably being paid to do it, you know. Our tax dollars at work. This has got to stop. These people are dangerous. Be-do-be-do.
It is weird and very interesting. It would be a great study. The way that a little, some cause on a campus can turn into, with wild disinformation, can turn into such a movement that they have to shut it down, you know, and it's prevalent in Ivy League universities.
When are these kids going to class? I know it's shut down now, but was last week, were they going, okay, I got Chem 101 in the South building. I got to go leave my tent and go down to Chem.
Oh, they're still going to class?
Yeah, are they still going to class? Or, I mean, at what point do you start kicking people out for not going to class? And
or are they, so they've just basically moved their dorm room down to a...
Now that it's, remote, are they
camp
in,
out?
Are they in there with their laptops taking their classes while they're sitting there yelling death to America?
Tell you what Trump needs to do. He needs to take his name off Trump Tower, disassemble that whole thing, break it down up here, and set up here in Florida right next to that crazy looking building down here on I-4. How about that? Beat it, beat it.
Hey, Shannon, T-Bone from Atlanta. Hope y'all are doing well today. This is a touch-off topic, but I know y'all talk about Chick-fil-A reasonably often. Enough, anyways. I got kicked out of a Chick-fil-A today because I am a landscaper with a trailer behind my truck. And they do not allow that anymore, at least not to this Marietta location. So, anyways, pissed me the blank off. Didn't know if y'all had heard of that or what you even think about it, but be-do, guys.
Can you park the truck in the lot and all go in?
No, I don't think so.
They don't like lawn dogs over there?
Yeah, I think it's because it takes up. With the trailers, take up so much space.
Those guys eat a lot.
Efficiency. Yeah, they're missing out. They're losing money on it.
The way I see it, these dogs, you know, marking territory to call their own. They're squatters. See what I did there?
Hey-o.
Yeah, we got to get rid of background checks. They disproportionately affect people who have committed crimes. Wait.
Wait a second, did AOC having a uterus and being to be a woman gives you authority on the abortion topic? Does that mean Dylan Mulvaney and Leah Thompson and our admiral of the HHS aren't really women? So she's saying that trans women don't really exist? It's good to know. Beater.
I guess she is in a way.
Well, they have spiritual uterus.
Hey, Shando, on the self-checkout thing, I was at my local Walmart, and I was in line at another self-checkout, and I witnessed at the next one over some people standing in line that waited until one opened, and then when it opened, they just walked right through and pocketed what they had in their hands. And they just happen to be fat lesbians, but I don't think that's neither here nor there. But anyway, I think that's how they're losing most of it. Be-do.
I don't think that's here. I certainly don't think that's here nor there.
Hey, guys. Chris from Rogmart here. Might be off topic, but I figure if a paranoid licensed man can call and talk live, I can ask about Whataburger on open mic. I'm in the panhandle. I've never had a Whataburger, and now I've passed the third one in about 10 miles. So I need to know what my first Whataburger experience should be. Let me know. Be-do.
Well, straight up double. Jeez.
Yeah.
Whataburger, that's the way to go. Then later, once you know, because you're going to be hooked on it, then you start mixing up, do the jalapeno burger, you know.
Yeah, I was in St. Augustine, and I kept seeing, because the new ones opened up there, and everywhere I saw, like, all the workers had Whataburger for lunches. I'm like, I should probably go over there, and then it was there for my anniversary, so I was like, I can't cut away from
Happy
a good
anniversary,
dinner.
Honey, it's your double whopper. You want jalapenos on that? I ate at my most favorite burger joint in Dallas at Keller's, and then I had my obligatory Tex-Mex meal that night. And then the next day for lunch, I had a burger from the guy that owned Keller for 70 years, or the family, a spinoff called Jake's. So that's pretty much, now my colon is in complete shutdown mode.
You got to be careful with that whole sending $20 and this and that, because next thing you know, your wife finds about it, and you're kind of in a big trouble after that. Not speaking from experience, that it did not happen last week.
Stop sending money for groceries and just send the groceries. Plenty of ways to do that. If she stops asking for money after that, well, there's your answer.
Good idea.
Cotton to tuna, two takes. What's currently going on at Columbia University makes me reminiscent of Kent State, if not for the outcome. And there are all sorts of, there's subgenres of festival goers. My kids go to festivals all the time. There are these people, they call them wooks. I think it's short for wookies. But mostly, they just live off everybody else's kindness. So you hooked up with a wook, man. Walk away. They're dirty people. Beater.
The one-night stand girl who purportedly was protecting the sisterhood by going to the wife and outing the cheating husband, it sounds to me like she wanted more than a one-night stand, and that's at the root of the story. I mean, why else would you even get him? Just go, okay? You had some fun, and then it's over, right?
Yeah.
So now Dr. Fauci's working on viruses up in the space station? Hmm. Be-do.
Not what I said.
Hey, what's up, Shando? Easy, Heather, Spark 352. Ah, so to the chick that slept with the married guy and then told his wife on him, and she didn't believe him, they're both liars. So I'd kind of pack my stuff up and run as far as you can away from that, because that's a crazy redneck thing that you can't fix. Just saying. B2B, you guys. Great show.
Happy Monday, guys. Shannon, glad you're back. Hopefully you're fully recovered from your pulled in muscle injury from that hydro pump incident.
What? Yeah, they all thought that's where you're out.
Pretty good job on Friday. And it was nice to hear something live with familiar voices versus the best of bit. B2B2.
That's the way we roll around here. I pulled a muscle.
Yeah, they all thought because you got your hydro pump the night before that you gave it a go. And
I left that thing in my office.
Which really confused the poor lady that had to come in to clean it over the weekend.
Oh, Mr. Burke.
The hydro pump.
I clean your hydro pump for you, Mr. Burke.
After 8 years working in the grocery industry years and years ago, I still remember bananas 4011. Regular onions 4036 and Yukons are 4063.
Wow. I've said it 100 times, it's Sparky. I'll light a match to this bitch tomorrow, other than put up with this crap we're dealing with. Be-do, be-do.
Where is the shock and awe? And I don't mean from the chicks shaking their boobs on the dance floor in Kyiv. I want to see S blowing up all over the place from big old Made in the USA ammunition. Be-do, be-do.
I think that's a part that Ukraine has struggled with because of the fact that there is so little footage. Yeah, we've seen war footage. You have to dig through X to find it. But if you turn on the nightly news, there's not a, hey, here's where Russian forces are currently. Here's where the Ukraine forces. We saw that step by step where the IDF was going into Gaza.
Right. And the footage you do see from the Russian-Ukraine issue is usually drone footage, and it's just people running around in a tank getting blown up or a suicide drone hitting a tank. It's out in the woods in a field somewhere, and there's no urban warfare.
Yeah, it sounds terrible, but I think if you showed Americans more actual war that was going on, they'd be more willing to give up some money.
Right.
Hey, guys. Well, that girl that called about having the one-nighter with the married guy, she should just write that off and move on. You know, maybe she should have asked a few more questions in advance herself. But, to have a big thing with the guy's wife and, you know, get all torn up about it. Some people thrive on drama. Just move on. Karma will take care of that dude. Be-do-be-do.
There you go. Those are the remarks for this hour, powered by Morris Family Farms. We're getting dark.
Yes. Who is one person or one profession that you feel like you should be able to trust all the time?
A lawyer.
Lawyer. Or
doctor.
Your doctor. And it's a lot of murder doctors.
Murder doctors?
Oh, a lot of murder doctors.
Oh, no. They took an oath.
Yeah. Didn't stop from murdering.
We'll do it next. It's the Shannon Burke Show. In New York have a new target. Individually wrapped cheese slices.
I'm not against this one. Nothing's more annoying than trying to open a Kraft single.
I think it's in the wrapper. Because I think they pour it in as a liquid.
Probably.
And then they fold it. I think that's like I put a... And then they fold it and they... I don't know. I've never seen it, but... It is a lot of stuff, a lot of plastic. And currently, if I want to just have a piece, I've got to take it in the garage and unwrap it there. My dogs hear that plastic. They'll come from anywhere. They used to have, we used to be able to get like one package, and it was it was just like stacks of the American cheese, but they were staggered just a little so you didn't have to dig your fingernail in there to get them apart, mm-hmm.
Or they have that little piece of parchment paper between each one of them.
Right.
Which is probably better than the plastic, but.
Well, they said.
I mean, Kraft singles are not cheese by definition.
They're not?
Yeah, they legally can't be called cheese because they are not a cheese.
Really?
Yeah, they're considered, where did I see that at?
They're not a cheese.
They're not really cheese.
It melts so nice on a cheeseburger.
Kraft singles can't legally be called cheese, instead calling them a cheese food product. they're actually 51% real cheese.
51%?
Yep.
Well, I mean, that's... I'm not bad. It is a pain in the ass too when you got to, when you're cooking a bunch of burgers at the same time. Like I got the old Blackstone rolling up. We got some smash burgers out there, and then you've got the cheese. They're all timed just right. So you got unwrap one, slap it, and then where you put the wrappers, you put them in your pocket. They're blowing around the backyard. I currently unwrap all of them. Like I'm cooking 10, I'll unwrap them all and lay them on a paper plate, stagger them, and by the time I get them outside, they're like almost melted. I'm like, jeez.
Yeah, you got to hope when you're putting it out, wind doesn't blow it right onto your grill, melt yeah. the plastic immediately.
Exactly. I mean, would that mean that Kraft singles would have to be banned in the city, or would Kraft abandon the wrappers altogether?
I'm sure Kraft needs to find a new way. I mean, the single serve wrap of plastic needed to be going away at some point anyway.
Yeah, but the nature of processed American cheese is such that unless it's cold, it's a sloppy, gooey mess. Yeah, maybe just get real cheese. Right?
I mean, sometimes you need the Kraft singles.
When I'm thinking about a smash burger, I'm not thinking about a nice piece of Wisconsin cheddar. I'm thinking about some gooey-ass Velveeta-like substance in between the patties. You know?
Maybe there's some way, like a tube of Kraft cheese that you just squeeze it out.
Oh, now you're talking.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Just little squirts on each. That is really good. I'm going to call Kraft in the morning and see if I can get it.
You can even get it like square-shaped. So it squirts out like a square shape on it and...
That is a really good idea.
Yeah, there you go.
It's a little higher. Is it higher viscosity is thicker or lower viscosity is thicker?
Higher. Kind of like if you ever make Velveeta cheese shells, you know, when you get that silver package that you cut the tip off.
Yeah.
You got to squeeze it because it's got some.
Maybe a little bit firmer than that.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. Why not just get the Velveeta? Yeah, get the same stuff they got in the shells and cheese. Genius. Let's get dark.
All right, let's do that.
It's Disturbing History with EZ. There's a lot of history out there. Some of it isn't in the books.
It's Monday. I got to thank Heather again for Friday. She did a very good job putting together her story on the catacombs and the fact that, Paris should be really stinky because it's just full of dead bodies underneath it. And at some point, it'll cave into itself.
It's all the cigarettes they smoke.
Well, that's why I said that's what covers it up. The smell of baguettes and cigarettes covers up the dead body smell. But for today, the person you trust the most, your doctor, you're hoping he's not trying to kill you or he hasn't killed his wife.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, a lot. It seems like a large amount of doctors murder their wives, weirdly enough.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I think it's the stress of it all.
Plus, a lot of them have a God complex. I think they can get away with it.
Yeah, but I mean, it's usually like poisoning there. There's a couple that are going on right now. The one little Asian doctor who was putting antifreeze in the guy's drink and his Gatorade.
And he got a camera on her. Like, it was antifreeze or was it plumbing roto?
Drano. Yeah. Something he was putting in his Gatorade. But weirdly enough, they like to poison people. And we'll talk about a few doctors today. We'll start in June of 1866 with Dr. Alfred William Warder.
Way back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Him and his wife, Helen, checked into the Bedford Hotel in Brighton, and at which point she almost immediately fell ill.
Oh.
Worried by her condition, her brother, one Mr. Branwell, asked a local physician named Dr. Richard Taft to examine her. Taft was surprised to hear that Warder was treating his wife's bladder pain with a 20-drop doses of Fleming's tincture of acetone. Last night.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You know Fleming's tinctures.
Fleming, I'm familiar with their tinctures, yeah.
Good brands. Taft changed her prescription, but never knew if the London doctor followed his instructions or not, and Miss Warder died a few days later. At this point, both Branwell and Taft expressed their concerns that there was no natural causes for Helen Warder's untimely death, so strangely, Dr. Warder had no objection to a postmortem analysis, though, even though it was found with conclusive evidence of poisoning. I don't know if he thought he had out...
Yeah, he
knew he poisoned her, but he said, yeah, go ahead, do the postmortem analysis. Check it out. I don't know if maybe he thought his wouldn't show up
right,
on the stuff.
Right, that's what it was. He thought he was such a cool, smart doctor, God complex.
Mm-hmm. In July, the papers branded him guilty of willful murder.
Willful.
But the case actually never went to trial because he committed suicide in his hotel room by drinking prussic acid.
The same stuff he gave his wife?
Something different, but a little acid.
Man, he didn't even try. He didn't try to get beat the rap.
Well, the problem was that subsequently it was speculated that Helen was not Dr. Warder's first victim because his third wife and his first two had also died under suspicious circumstances. So,
they dig those up? And they always go dig up the other
ones. Dr. Warder liked to poison his wives.
Oh boy!
Back in 1915, Hannah Peck was worried about the lack of suitors for her daughter. I love that we're less than, just over 100 years from this type of thing, where a mother would be like, oh my God, nobody wants to marry my daughter. Well, apparently Clara was a limp fish, I guess, because nobody wanted to marry Clara. But in their hometown of Grand Rapids, Michigan, when former schoolmate Arthur Warren Waite started wooing young Clara, it was a choice occasion for the family. After all, Waite was young, handsome, and a dentist.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, he was making that good teeth money.
Yeah. And he's got all them drugs and gases and whatnot.
The two married in September and moved to Manhattan. As it turned out, though, Arthur was more interested in that sweet playboy lifestyle consisting of fairs and tennis tournaments. It's 1915. I think it was still cool to go to,
tennis tournaments.
Yeah, tennis tournaments. Well, he saw that Clara's family inheritance may be the best way to keep up his tennis tournament appearance. Her father, John Peck, was a successful drugstore, or he had owned a successful drugstore in Grand Rapids, which he had parlayed into a fortune worth millions of dollars. Waite, of course, wasted little time. Of course, he has women in tournaments to be at, so he has no time for marriage.
He's working the tennis tournament for the chicks.
Yeah,
right?
Probably.
I'm a dentist.
I mean, back in 1915, those skirts, I believe they were right below the knees, so damn. In January 2016, he invited his mother-in-law to visit. She fell ill hours after arriving and died days later. In March, John Peck came to stay with him, and he also died days later.
Good Lord.
Of course, Waite would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for those damn dirty kids and their, nosy dog. Or also a mysterious telegram sent to the Peck's son, Percy, which said, suspicions aroused, demand autopsy.
Mm.
Hannah Peck had already been cremated, but Percy obtained his father's body despite Waite's objections. The autopsy found arsenic and chloroform, and the dentist was arrested. He admitted to marrying Clara for the money and planning to kill her next.
Wow.
You don't really see to go to the parents first.
No.
Usually you kill the wife.
And that guy has some vision.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to kill the parents, and
I gotta
then
make
I'll
sure
get
she's got
wife.
The money by killing their parents, and then... she's next.
The telegram that saved her life actually came from one Elizabeth Hardwick. She grew suspicious of Waite after seeing him dine with his mistress and finding out that her father, Waite's employer and doctor, was bluntly denied access to John Peck's body by Waite. So.
What, she said, get away from the guy?
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
And so ends another trip to trying to get into tennis tournaments.
Did he go to prison?
Yeah, he did. Back in the mid-19th century, when Edmond de la Pomerias, he had a homeopathic practice in Paris. Despite being successful, Pomerias still found himself in debt due to his penchant for gambling. And he realized his best way to solve his financial woes was to, also like Warren Waite, marry into money. So in 1861, he married Mademoiselle d'Abizy. Even though she stood to inherit a fortune, her mother was still in charge of the money, and she disapproved of her daughter's marriage to him. So, obviously,
she
time to kill
go.
A mom.
She had to go. Come in for a checkup, Mom.
Time to kill a stepmom, or to kill a mother-in-law. Just a few months after the wedding, Madame d'Abizy went to visit her daughter's house, and she enjoyed a dinner and then fell violently ill. And she died a few days later. In Pommerie, as her physician ruled that it was cholera was the cause of death.
Cholera.
Yeah, it happens. mid-19th. It's 1861.
Oh, yeah. Still some cholera around.
With his wife's inheritance, the homeopath was able to live the sweet life, at least for a short while, because in 1863, apparently he still loved to bet, I don't know, on the horses. What were the French people betting on at this time? 1861. Maybe the tennis matches as well?
Badminton, mm-hmm. Yes.
This time he hatched a scheme with his mistress, Seraphine Dupois, to commit insurance fraud. The original plan involved Dupois taking out an insurance policy with Pomeray as her benefactor, after which she would be diagnosed as terminally ill by him and received annuity from the insurer. However, Pomeroy decided it would be better if he gained the entire payment, so he killed DePaul instead. The plan almost worked, but Seraphine's sister knew the original scheme. That was your problem. You don't tell the sister that you have a scheme to fraud the insurance and then kill that person still. So they went to the police. They recruited French forensic pioneer Ambroise Tardy, who tested DePaul's vomit and discovered she had been been poisoned with digitalis.
Digitalis?
Yeah, I don't know which that one is.
Fingers.
Poisoned her with a few ground-up fingers. Pomeroy was sent to the guillotine for his murders.
Wow. France wasn't playing.
No. You murder a couple mother-in-laws and then some mistresses, you get the guillotine. Late 19th century, Dowager Josephine Barnaby was one of the most prominent residents of Providence, Rhode Island. Eventually, the heiress trusted all of her affairs to a confidant and her physician, one Thomas Thatcher Graves. With the power of attorney, Graves managed to actually name himself as the benefactor of Miss Barnaby's estate. I'd assume Josephine Barnaby. I can only think 19th century dowager. She's like the old lady, big fur. Like, she's definitely got some sort of mink coat.
Yeah, big old hair.
Mm-hmm. He could have waited for the woman to die, and he may have gotten away with it. However, Graves became impatient. Knowing that she enjoyed a drink or two, he sent her a bottle of whiskey laced with some arsenic from an anonymous admirer while she was visiting a friend in Denver.
Wow.
Problem is, Miss Barnaby...
Can it not taste arsenic? Because
probably not a whiskey.
Sure was used a lot, you know?
I mean, a good bottle of whiskey, probably not. Probably add to the flavor a little bit.
And do you die instantly of arsenic?
You can, yeah.
Huh.
Well, Miss Barnaby, though, was a good friend.
I'm drinking the whole bottle, you know, eventually, so...
Yeah, well, she shared it with her friend as well.
Oh, so no.
They both became violently ill and died.
Graves
thought he had covered all his tracks. He had bought the bottle in Boston and asked a man at the train station named Joseph Breslin to write the note so that Miss Barnaby wouldn't even recognize the handwriting. Therefore, when he was summoned to Denver to testify against another man, Graves found nothing suspicious. However, it was all ruse cooked up by famed Pinkerton James McParland to get Graves to Denver so McParland could arrest Graves.
What do you mean?
Yeah, the cops knew it, were in on it, knew about. So they actually brought him out there and told him, hey, we caught a guy. He's admitted to all of it. Why don't you come out and check it out? And when he came out and said, oh, I don't see anything wrong in the body. She's fine. They already knew she had been poisoned with arsenic. They set the trap. At the trial, the prosecution brought in Breslin, who testified against the doctor. Graves was found guilty, but he also committed suicide in his cell.
Really?
Yeah. Doctors seem to always go out on the easy way.
They don't want to be, they don't want to live with the shame.
It's that oath. It gets to you after a while, I think. 1959, Dr. Bernard Finch was a successful surgeon when 18-year-old Carol Tregoff became the new receptionist at the Los Angeles Medical Center where he worked. The two soon started an affair, which eventually led to talks of a marriage. But there was one problem. When you're having an affair, it usually means one or this point, both of them were married.
Uh-oh.
Tregoff had no qualms about divorcing her husband. She's 18 years old, and she's now with a banging a doctor, so she's all for divorcing.
Right.
Problem was that Dr. Finch, well, he's a medical doctor with a marriage that would basically cost him his practice because she would take everything in a divorce. If he divorced his wife, Barbara, she would be entitled to half of his considerable wealth and even more if she could prove that he had committed adultery. So, what do? You kill her.
The only way out.
If Finch had planned his wife's murder, then clearly he was not meant for a life of crime. He waited for Barbara to arrive home, walked up to her in the driveway, and after a brief struggle, shot her point blank.
And what did he claim?
That she was being robbed. Afterward, he and Tregoff left Los Angeles individually. They reunited in Las Vegas before both were promptly arrested and charged with murder. Neither of them are good at it. There was plenty of forensic and circumstantial evidence, as well as two witnesses who testified against Finch and Tregoff. However, Finch managed to convince some members of the jury that the gun belonged to Barbara and had accidentally gone off while he was trying to pry it away from her. She caught him cheating, pulled a gun on him. They both went for the gun.
They didn't buy that either?
No. The first two juries were deadlocked, but in 1961, a third sentenced both Finch and Chekhov to life in prison. They only served 10 and 8 years, though, before being paroled.
Wow. Life in prison? They only one served 10, one served 8?
Yep. Hey, come on. They're wealthy. Well, at least he was.
Damn.
At first glance, it seemed that Isabella Smethurst's death was clear case of murder at the hands of her husband, one Dr. Thomas Smethurst. However, a forensic mistake, accusations of bias during the trial, and public pressure ensured the man dubbed the Richmond Poisoner would walk away scot-free. He was even able to claim the inheritance, which allegedly was his reason for the murder. In summer of 1858, the Smethurst had moved to Richmond in London, and soon after, Miss Smethurst became ill. The doctors immediately suspected poison and sent a sample of her vomit to Dr. Alfred Swain Taylor for analysis.
A vomit specialist.
Yeah, vomit specialist. This guy's
really good.
Of course, he found that sweet smelling arsenic in there.
Oh, really?
And Dr. Smethurst was arrested. However, since he hadn't been convicted yet, Smethurst convinced the magistrate to let him be with his ailing wife, and she died the next day. Hell of a guy that talked to a local judge, hey, you're going to jail for poisoning your wife with arsenic, but you can be with her on her deathbed.
Wow, that is weird.
It soon emerged after that Thomas and Isabella were in a bigamous relationship. She had left him everything in a will signed Isabella Banks, spinster. Furthermore, Dr. Taylor announced that he also found arsenic in one of Smethurst's bottles. It was mixed with another chemical to evade detection. The case looked like the Victorian version of a slam dunk. However, Dr. Taylor, despite dubbed the father of British forensic medicine, was not infallible. The arsenic found in Smethurst's bottle actually came from contaminated copper gauze that Taylor had used for testing. An old lab mistake.
That was his excuse, or that was what happened?
No, the guy that was the forensic specialist forgot to change out the cotton swab, and
wow,
it also had arsenic on it. So, yeah,
he skated.
Yep. Furthermore, the presiding judge, Sir Frederick Pollock, was accused of trying to sway the jury against the defendant. Although Smethurst was originally found guilty, public pressure convinced the Home Secretary to give him reprieve and eventually a full pardon. He was still in prison for 1 year for bigamy.
Really?
Yeah.
Where was this? London?
London.
Yeah, they could be put in jail for that stuff over there. Can you imagine?
Yeah, you cheating on your wife and you...
Half of Congress would be in prison right now.
Half of the Parliament right now would be in prison over there.
Everybody.
By all accounts, Dr. Levi Well was a successful practice in 18th century London. That makes it even more surprising. He organized a gang of Jewish criminals to commit robbery and murder. The gang consisted of German and Dutch Jews lured to London by Well with promises of easy scores. The robbery that ended the crime spree took place in late 1771 when the band targeted the farm of a widow named Miss Hutchinson in Kings Road, Chelsea. Only Miss Hutchins and her two female servants were awake, so when the mob forced their way in, they tied them up and proceeded to loot the house. One apartment was occupied by two farmhands named John Slow and William Stone, which dude's name was John Slow. It was just incredible.
John Slow.
Yeah.
Slow.
They were sleeping when they were assaulted by Wells' crew. Slow was killed by gunshot, while Stone was dazed by a blow from the doctor. He managed to recover and escape through the window, but died of his injuries the next day. Initially, the gang got away with the crime. Then one of their own turned on the others in exchange for immunity and reward. It's the world of thieves. You can never get away with it.
Bunch of rats.
The public was shocked to learn that the leader of the murderous gang was one with a superior education who had earned his medical degree at Leiden University.
Hmm.
Six men were put on trial. Two were let go due to lack of evidence. But Will and three accomplices were convicted and hung from the neck.
The old school way.
Mm.
Hang them.
During World War I, Dr. Pierre Bugart, he served his country, received the Military Cross and the Legion of Honor. Afterward, he set up a successful practice in Marseille, where he sometimes offered free medical services to the downtrodden.
This
man is a saint.
Man of the people.
He also enjoyed living lavishly and spending money, particularly on the ladies. And anytime you're spending money on the lady and also tennis tournaments, you find yourself in financial ruin.
That's right.
One day in 1925, Bugart was treating a former brother-in-arm named Jacques Rambi. Bugart was injecting the man with salvarsan, an organo-arsenic used back then to treat syphilis.
Oh.
Yeah, which means you know where that needle was going. Mm, yeah. Rambi was a debt collector. He had come in with a large satchel of money, and this was the last time he was seen alive.
Ah.
That's right. He died from penile injection.
Penile injection.
Mm-hmm.
He injected his penis?
Well, that's where they were usually treating syphilis at.
Oh, you had to shoot it. That's right. You had to shoot right in the old.
And he gave him the old air bubble in the. Initially, people assumed that Rumbre had run away with the money. However, a few months later, Bulgrat was arrested for forging a check. And while going through his office, people noticed a cupboard that was covered by a tapestry. And inside, they found the decomposing body of one Rumbre. As most people appeared obvious that Bulgrat had killed his patient and stole the money. However, the doctor desperately tried to convince the authorities that he had committed suicide because he had lost the money in a brothel. Thinking that nobody would believe him, he hid the body in an act of desperation. Turns out he was right. Nobody believed him, and he was sent to a penal colony in the French Guinea. Excuse me, French Guyana. And we'll end finally with Dr. Thomas Neil Cream. He's primarily remembered for his connections to Jack the Ripper. People who believe that their two were actually maybe the same people. Point to Cream's medical training, his targeted prostitutes, and his alleged confession. Apparently, while he was being hanged, like right when they were about to pull the thing, he goes, "I'm Jack the," and then they pulled the cord and it snapped his neck.
No.
Who did they say? Hey, is that the what?
Did anybody catch that? Ripper aside, Cream actually created his own murderous path through England, the United States, and Canada. Born in Scotland, raised in Canada, Cream opened his practice in Ontario. His first likely victim was his patient and alleged mistress, Kate Gardner, who was dumped in an alley in 1879, who died from chloroform poisoning. Probably kinky stuff going on. Her death would have been the result of Cream's side business giving abortions to prostitutes. To avoid prison, he moved to the United States and continued his back alley abortion in Chicago. You get a little flashing light in Chicago.
What year was this?
1879. Different sources describe a number of suspicious prostitute deaths to Cream during this period. However, it's difficult to say if the victims were willful murder or inherent dangers involved with, you know, back alley abortions. One person definitely murdered by the doctor was Daniel Stott. Cream was supplying him with epilepsy medicine while also sleeping with his wife. When Stott became a problem, Cream slipped some strychnine into his medicine. The doctor's mistake was trying to pin the murder on the pharmacist. This caused an investigation to be launched into Stott's death, for which Cream was convicted. Years later, Cream was released and moved to London, settled in Lambeth, and this is when the killing spree kicked into high gear as he began poisoning prostitutes for the fun of it.
Wow.
He killed at least four of them. I don't know. When you go to London, sometimes you just want to poison a prostitute.
For the fun of it,
though. You see Big Ben, you go see the London guards, just poison a prostitute. Yeah.
When we return, we owe it all to some dude in Plano and North Texas there. Theater chain Cinemark has been putting screws to everybody for a long, long time. And what's wrong with giving your kid a stick of butter? Hang on, it's the Shannon Burke Show. Colombia president facing calls to resign amid this nightmare. The faculty and staff have walked out in support of the student protesters. What a nightmare! And they're mad because Colombia allowed NYPD onto the campus. But
yeah,
they had a big problem. I mean, I'm talking
Columbia
about
Columbia doesn't have its own NYPD can go on the campus if they want to. It's not like sovereign ground of any type,
right? I mean, it's almost to me, it looks like it might be nearing a National Guard level. You know what I mean?
I wouldn't be too far out. I don't think.
I mean, look at that. The whole park is covered in nothing but tents. Nice tents. Who bought those tents?
That's what people need to find out. Follow the money on that.
They're all
buying.
Look brand new. Some of the still like the creases in from the packaging.
Yeah, they're all brand new. They're all the same type of tents.
There's a conspiracy afoot here.
I mean, you just have to follow. Where's the company that makes these tents? Got a gigantic order of them.
Or some REI got bought out of every tent they had.
You're not going to an REI and finding 100 tents.
No,
no.
Oh, man, it's out of control. There's a fat activist by the name of Virginia Soul Smith.
she's such a fat activist that she divorced her husband who was into fitness. Because she said that childhood obesity is not a problem. And anti-fat bias is the problem. And she lets her kids eat whatever they want, even against the wishes of her former husband, who once caught his daughter standing in the kitchen eating a stick of butter. She's the author of a book called Fat Talk, Parenting in the Age of Diet Culture. And she's an advocate of dismantling diet culture and anti-fat bias.
What is with, you don't have to be, the kid doesn't have to be on a diet, but you could also feed the kid good food.
Right. There's in no way is it okay for any human to eat a stick of butter.
No.
She says, we don't parent body size. How your child is eating and how much they move their body is really the smallest piece of the puzzle. When you focus on that with the goal of controlling your child's weight, you do a lot of harm. A lot of harm.
Then you also clog your child's arteries at 11 because they chugged a stick of butter every night.
I mean, you as a parent, letting your kids eat, run amok and eat whatever they want, that's the harm. You need to teach your child discipline and nutrition and what overeating means. I mean, that's very important. She and her ex-husband had a fight when their daughter ate a whole stick of butter, and she did not want to stop her daughter from eating it. Like, he's like, hey, the kid's eating a stick of butter. She's like, that's okay. They should eat whatever they want.
She's dipping it into white sugar.
Oh, my God. She said, being a healthy weight is okay, and having a good layer of body fat is healthy. But advocating unhealthy eating, you'll only drive up diabetes and hospital rates. That's her husband talking. They don't label foods as good or bad in their house, healthy or unhealthy. And she serves her children desserts and snacks along with their dinner. That's just trying to be your kid's best buddy right there.
And also, I think this lady is using her kids as an experiment.
She's also using her kids to be, she wants them to be fat like her. Yeah.
She's doing, I'm sure she's got mommy blogs and she's got other stuff where she goes in there and tells, oh, you know, I let my kids eat a sleeve of Oreos before they ever get to their dinner.
She served her daughters broccoli, chicken, and brownies for dinner. And after they eat only a few bites or so, they can go in the yard and play. Or read books at the dinner table. Man. Her husband started working out during the pandemic. She started put on the weight. She just made brownies and ate.
So he got good looking, and he's like, and she was looking for a way to get out of it. And him yelling at the kid eating a stick of butter, she's like, you're too overbearing now.
I mean, you're really damning your child to a future of health issues, bad relationships with food. You know, you want your kid to eat everything off his plate. You want him to eat his vegetables, but you don't want to indulge them to the fact that, you know, you get a bowl of pudding and with your piece of chicken.
Yeah, that's
because that's what you want.
That's parenting. There is a point where you have to be the adult every once in a while because kids are kids. Their pudding brain that they have thinks, yeah, I like chocolate chip cookies. I'm going to eat chocolate chip cookies before I eat a piece of chicken.
You know, one professor at Duke University said, look, I think it's possible to simultaneously hold in your mind the condition of obesity is concerning while at the same time protecting the rights of the people that have it. You can think of many other parallels like depression or alcoholism where you don't want the people to have these things to be stigmatized. They're clearly negative effects of that, but it doesn't mean that you discount the ravages of the disease.
Yeah, there's a fight against forcing your kid to, you know, only eat what you make them. And if, even if they don't like it, then tell them, well, then you're just going to go to bed hungry. Or the opposite side being, well, you can just have here's some snack packs of chocolate pudding and, you know, stuff. And just eat whatever you want. Those are both sides are not great parents. There has to be that middle of it.
They're together 25 years, married for 14. Divorced because she endorsed the fat lifestyle and wanted her kids to be fat and eat what they wanted. He was, you know, kind of thinking that's probably not a good idea. Mm-mm-mm. 19.4% of kids are obese. 19.4% of girls, 21.7% of boys. Big old fatties. Have you ever seen the, I've seen it done. I've seen it with, I believe, the Starbucks cups. What are the sizes? I know Venti's the biggest one.
But that's the wrong person.
Yeah, but the one below it, if you fill it with water, you could pour it in the Venti, the one that's taller, and it's the same. It's all a ruse. And one guy at a fan of the theater in Texas discovered it himself. Shane Waldrop said Cinemark has been selling drinks in containers that are labeled as 24 ounces, but that the containers only hold 22. He was at the Cinemark in Grapevine. He bought a 24-ounce draft beer for $8.80. Came out to $9.53 after tax. The drink container was labeled as 24 ounces. But he thought the container wasn't large enough to hold 24, so he took the empty container from the theater and measured how much liquid it would hold, and he discovered it could only hold 22.
This guy's job must be measuring liquid all day long, because he could eye out, like, you know what? This does not look like 24. This only looks like 22 ounces. I'm going to take this home and check.
What industry are you in? I tell you right now, that's a 21 ounce right there for sure. No more than that.
That's the question. The Cinemark's probably been stealing money from years from people because nobody's going, what are you, come on, there's no way this beer is 24 ounces. This is only 22 ounces.
He says Cinemark's misleading customers and inducing them to buy 24 ounce drinks at a premium, a dollar more than the 20 ounce drink. Wow.
It still seems like you're getting pretty good deal if you're getting 2 more ounces for a dollar.
But that doesn't.
You think you're getting 4 ounces, but you're getting 2 more ounces, but you're still.
You thought you were getting 24 and you only got 22.
Yeah, but it was a dollar more than the 20.
Which you're probably getting 18. Yeah, did he test the 20 ounces?
I know, he needs to go do that too.
There's going to be a trial. They violated the Texas Deceptive Trade Practices Act, negligent misrepresentation, common law fraud, unjust enrichment. He's seeking compensatory damages and for Cinemark to repackage his 24-ounce drinks with proper amount of advertised liquid.
Cinemark should send him like 5 gallon jugs or whatever the beer was. Like, all right, we're compensating for all those 2 ounces we stole from you. Here you go.
I mean, really, because what would it be? A dollar every time he got a
well, he's gonna drink say, it stressed him out finding that out. And he probably couldn't go to work the next day.
And what, is he going to get together a bunch of other people maybe and get a class action together? And then the lawyers make all the money.
Yeah. You get a $1.25 check sent to you in the mail 5 years later.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, if you couldn't do this for the sodas, because that's ice and then the liquid. I mean, you're not going to get 24 ounces of liquid. It's most of it's ice, right?
Yeah, but there's still 24 ounces worth of stuff in there.
Right. Beer is the other way around. If you poured, would you be upset if they said, I'm going to sell you a 24-ounce beer, and it came to your table and a glass, and it had a half-inch of head on it, foam on the top, but all the way to the top, beer all the way to the top would be 24, but an inch down, that's
That can't. Nah. That's got to be 20. You want 22.
It happens, though.
Yeah.
This guy's got too much time on his hands.
Is that it?
I think so. I mean, really, I've never understood the person that's like that. That is the...
Right.
That's the person that yells at Nabisco because they bought Cheez-Its and too many of the Cheez-Its were broken in the box. They didn't get a full supply of you know, full-shaped right. Cheez-Its. So.
Or... I would have gone to the Plano-based Cinemark company with their headquarters with one of those doohickeys to measure liquid and the cup and sat in the office and said, look here, this is 24-ounce glass, and here's 22 ounces of water. You can see it's measured. Right. So either Shannon sees movies and drinks for free at Cinemark for the rest of his natural life, or we go to trial.
I'm going to Morgan and Morgan with this.
I mean, is that bribery, or is that a...
It's kind of maybe a little kind of a blackmail-esque type of thing.
Maybe you can say it in a way. It's like...
you go in there and be found out you guys were making a mistake, and I want to help you guys by helping you and let you know that you guys were shorting people.
And I'm certain that you will, because I brought this... oversight to your attention, reward me with the Cinemark Gold Card, which offers free movies and beer for life.
Yeah, I mean, I should probably be properly compensated for it.
You know what I mean? Wink, wink.
Or I'm going to take this all the way to the top.
I mean, it is at the top now. It's going to be a lawsuit in Texas, federal court in Sherman.
We're going to take this to the Supreme Court.
I mean, at the end of the day, what have you done? You've earned you and a couple of thousand people that bought a beer at Cinemark, $1.93 in a check, made some Texas law firm fabulously rich, and you corrected, which I don't know. Does it sound like an oversight, or does it sound like they really wanted to? Could Cinemark go, look, we contracted with this cup company a long time ago, and they promised us that it was the right amount.
More than likely, that's what they would do. They would say, yeah, we contract these out. Johnny Cinemark hasn't been down there picking the exact cup weight lately, so it's definitely going to there.
Or they could just say that it only happens in this one theater.
Huh? Yeah. If you go down to the one down the street, those cups are professionally checked every day to make sure they're exactly 24 ounces. It was just an oversight on that one.
You remember when the guy sued Subway because the foot longs were only 11 inches? It was a blatant lie.
Have you ever joined in on those class action lawsuits?
I'm trying to. Some credit card I had was charging some usurious fee or something, and I said, "Yeah, screw the credit cards." And you sign the thing and you send it in, and that's all it is. And then, like, 3 years later, I got a check for, like, $3.63.
Yeah, I used to do that for a while. There was a website, and I can't think of the name of it anymore, but that was literally all you do. You go on there, and it would have all the list of all the class action lawsuits that were going on there. And you go, oh, Starkist Tuna, yeah, I buy that. Red Bull. And then you would forget about it. And then
the checks start rolling in.
3 years later, I've got a case of Starkist Tuna on my front porch. And I'm like, where did this come from?
We are sorry. We hope this makes up for our horrible oversight. I should hold on to that one for later. No, it's good. I've never heard of the guy, Arj Barker. He's a comedian, apparently very popular in the UK. He was in Melbourne, Australia, doing a comedy show. A woman there in the crowd was breastfeeding a 7-month-old baby. She insisted that her baby wasn't screaming. She was just being a baby. She gurgled a bit. This is the mother. Nothing loud. One attendee, he asked her to leave for disrupting her performance. One attendee said that he stopped the show and said, "You could take this baby out. Can you take this baby outside?" She was was very awkward. No one in the crowd knew that he was serious or not. It was a part of the joke. He put the blame on the staff theater. He said, "This show, I mean, he caught a lot of crap. She's only feeding a child." You know how they always come to the defense. Oh, my God. hey, why would you take a 7-month-old child to a comedy show and plop your boob out and not, like, pump early? It would take a kid anywhere and plop one out. Oh, my God, I got a great story on my flight. I'm going to tell you that. I swear to God, a woman 2 rows in front of me on the aisle plopped out both.
Oh, she went for a twofer, huh?
Put the pumps on both of them and ran them.
Just let them ride, huh?
Yeah. It's unbelievable. But he said, look, the show is strictly for age 15 and over. It clearly says it on the ticket. She had an infant with her. The baby was disrupting my performance. On behalf of me and the 700 other people that paid to see my gig, I politely told her that the baby couldn't stay. She thought I was kidding, which made the exchange a bit awkward. I felt bad about the whole situation. And this has happened I've stated this on the night more than once. I offered her a refund. Theater staff should not have sat a baby in my audience in the first place. I agree with that.
Yeah. You know, there are some parents that you are now a parent. You don't get to go out all the time. You've got responsibilities. If you can't find somebody to watch your kid, you don't get to go out to a comedy show that ruins everybody else's experience. Because the last thing you want to do if you're going out to the local comedy club, but you're thinking it's the 9 p.m. show or the 11 o'clock show, and you're enjoying a cocktail, listening to comedy, and you're hearing a baby go,
right.
Yeah, I'm like, what the hell is going on?
Because babies cry. Yeah. They all cry. And the one guy in the story said, I was at that show. He asked her nicely at the start as the baby's cries were distracting him, and she declined. I think he had the right to ask her to go.
And there's some people that are just like, oh, I'm a parent. Okay, you don't get to drag your kid everywhere.
Yeah, that's what they make babysitters for. This lady was wearing like a exposed midriff deal. She was, I had gotten up to go to the bathroom, and I came back, and the row behind me was completely empty, and I was stuck in the middle. I was like, screw it, I'm sitting in the aisle. So I sat on the aisle, so Kim's in front of me. And to the left, and I see her, you know, she's up messing around. She's sitting across the aisle, 2 rows in front of me, getting into the overhead on my side where her stuff is. And she's going through, and I see like pipes and stuff coming out. I'm like, what on earth? And then I see a pump. I'm like, oh no, she's, oh no. and then she pulls another one. I was like, oh my God. And then I'm behind her, so I don't get a full view, but I'm looking up kind of diagonally, and I see she's this like a mid-drift, not tight, real loose kind of top. She lifts one up and puts the pump on, does the same one on the other, turns them on, and she kind of pulls the...
She pulled it down there.
Yeah, and then she's sitting there with two, you know, people look around. I tried to get a picture that I thought, people will give me a hell if I pull up my camera now. So I took a picture of this woman pumping both her boobs out on the plane.
I'm just impressed by her industry going on there. It's like right in the middle of the plane. Go for it.
Why not? I mean, yeah. It's a, you know, two hour flight. Yeah. Let's get it done. I know you can't control. Heather, is there an emergency pumping situation where you got to pump right now?
Yes.
Ah,
yes,
that's what
there has been. It's called engorgement. It is the most painful thing that
I did notice.
You noticed
she was engorged on her way to sit down, right? It's a visible thing too.
Oh, yeah. Like, uh-huh. Her boobs were probably 2 or 3 times their normal size. If she had not pumped, she
like
would have
steam
gotten...
was coming off of them. She's coming down the aisle.
What?
I'm kidding. If that, what would happen? She would start leaking everywhere?
You can get mastitis from it sitting there, and then you can get clogs from not getting it
like
out.
Like a curd or something?
Oh, and then you have to get those clogs out.
Uh-huh.
And they don't thin before they come out. So, I mean, it's not fun.
You got to call Roto-Rooter to get
the ugly side of breastfeeding. Yeah. What do you got to do? Like squeeze it out?
Warm compresses, warm water.
Well, then
all
more power to this woman.
Yes, exactly. Thank you.
I didn't know she was engorging right away, but it doesn't bother me. I've never seen it happen on an airplane before.
I mean, it's so nice that I might have
switched with my husband and gotten in the middle seat instead of plop those babies out of the aisle seat. But hey,
was he holding the baby in the middle seat?
The baby was in the wasn't a baby. Wasn't that? It didn't look like an infant. He was sitting in the window seat.
Little fella. I nursed and pumped until my kids were 3 and donated. Tons and tons of, like, I think the first kid was like 93 gallons of milk.
Good Lord.
So if you have to pump.
you donated 93 pump. Gallons?
Gallons, yes.
It's impressive.
Thank you.
Do they give you a badge for that or a t-shirt at least?
Yeah.
I did get a t-shirt.
Yeah, there you go. Can I ask what that t-shirt says?
So I was working with the Get Pumped Online organization to help babies who, for whatever reason, their mother couldn't produce for them, or they were adopted and their parents couldn't produce. But these were like babies in special care. Like they couldn't just drink the regular formula. But it would provide them with breast milk. Like the one baby that I fed the first time, he
does it come around to see you now? Does it later, like, hey,
I keep in touch with
you.
The
probably don't remember me, but I drank your breast milk for first 3 years. I want to thank you for those 93 gallons.
No, I'm
now
in touch with the parents.
A linebacker on a high school football team. Thanks to your milk.
Well, all the other milk that they tried different people.
Yours was the best?
Huh?
Yours was the best?
Mine was the best.
Nah, but like
all
bragging.
The other, no, okay, yeah, that was brag. But all the others that he tried, he couldn't keep down. He kept spitting it up. And so then they eventually tried my milk. And at the time, I was eating onions basically raw, like all day long. I don't know why, but for some reason, it gave my milk probiotics and stuff. And so he was able to hold it down.
Her boobs are so engorged that she was in row 6 and the kid was in row 7.
I believe it.
It's been breast milk talk on the Shannon Burr Show. Thank you, Heather.
You're welcome.
Well, now we have an expert on staff. Mm-hmm. All right, when we return, our buddy Eric Matheny. I know we have a lot to talk about. Big developments in New York and Columbia University. That's next. It's the Shannon Burr Show. Instead of sitting in the rain, could have been hanging out with some superstar celebrity golfers and comedians this weekend. I just didn't know it.
Eating steak.
They want you to know, ER departments, that if you do suffer a snake bite, no need to bring the snake with you to the ER. Snake identity is not needed for the appropriate treatment. As a matter of fact, only in this hospital in Australia, for example, 3,000 snake bites each year, only 100 to 200 need antivenom anyway. Now you get bit by a snake, catch it. Oh my God, you better catch it. And then when you put it in your Home Depot 5 gallon bucket,
you put it in a Tupperware,
bring a lid in there, put it in a Tupperware.
I need that Tupperware back. That's my good one.
Yeah. Don't run off with my Tupperware.
Can't you just flush that snake later?
Is that my bunk cake Tupperware? Son of a bitch. Oh, now wipe all the rattlesnake out of it. Yeah, I would, that's the last thing I would think that you needed to bring.
I think everybody panics. It's like, oh, we get a picture. Oh, no, you actually just need to take it with us. Put it in a sack or something like that. Well, so they can identify it so we get the right venom.
Yeah. Then there's, you know, your buddy Ned is trying to wrangle. Hold on, let me get him. And he gets bit. Oh, dang, I got bit too. And then other guy's got to get in on it.
Next thing you know, you got a hospital bill for $400,000 because each anti-venom is a couple $100,000 a piece.
Why would you if you're going to bring the snake, couldn't they identify it if it was dead?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I didn't want to kill a snake. Can you tell what this is?
I hate to kill God's creatures, but this here snake bit my brother.
He looks angry.
All right. On Mondays, we catch up with Eric Matheny. You can listen to his podcast, Bob and Eric Save America, wherever you get podcasts. His social media is a great follow, at Eric M. Matheny. Eric, how are you, brother?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. First of all, I want to get your comments on Uncle Bozy's untimely death at the hands of New Guinea's cannibal tribes.
So is he a truck driver? Is he Puerto Rican? Did he fight corn pop? He's got an uncle that was eaten by cannibals.
Yep.
I can't figure out which one.
A favorite of all the Delaware area Somali taxi drivers as well.
Yeah, exactly that. So his poor sympathies go out to the family and the poor uncle who was eaten by the Papua New Guinea cannibals.
I mean, I haven't heard
that one.
There may be others out there who lost loved ones to the same cannibals, and he's just trying to connect with them, you know.
He might be. Well, the cannibal victim community, that's one constituency he hasn't gotten a hold of yet. He needs all the votes he can get.
That's right. Well, Eric, we got to talk about Columbia, the Ivy League anti-Jew problem. Faculty and staff have just walked out at Columbia, upset that Columbia has allowed NYPD on their sacred grounds to deal with these people that are out of control. NYPD might be the least of their concern. I mean, we're quickly approaching a National Guard situation. How does this all end?
Well, I don't know how it ends, but I can tell you how it begins. And these are overprivileged, rich kids whose parents spend, $500,000 to send them to Columbia, and this is what happens to them. They probably come in as, these are smart kids. These are, academically accomplished kids who come in there. Getting into Columbia, at least at one point, was, certainly something to brag about. And then all of a sudden, it used to be the kids came home with pink hair and, 16 ear piercings, and now they're coming home terrorists. They're coming home members of Hamas. And here's the one thing I want to stress, and I commented on it today. The one thing consistently that you don't see, young people that go to trade schools don't turn out that way. And they come out, and by the time they're 25, 26 years old, some are making well over $100,000. They don't have $500,000 in debt, and they're not getting brainwashed. And the more I look at it, and I'm college educated, I went to law school, and it worked for me at the time. But I think we start as a culture having to stop. We have to stop looking at things like military service. We have to stop looking at things like trade school as second tier and look at them as viable alternatives, not just to making a living, because as we know, people in the trades are making, in far better instances, better livings than people with college degrees without the debt. But also what's happening to the minds of these people. I mean, remember, these are generations, basically, of kids that have never been told no. And they're also generations of kids that have really grown up without any real struggle. Say what you will. There's no oppression in the United States. We're not oppressed. Does somebody, use the wrong pronouns or, you didn't get your Starbucks on time. I mean, there's really no real hardship that people endure here in this country. Even the poorest among us have $1,000 phones. So these kids are going to this school getting a tremendous opportunity to get one of the finest educations the world's ever known. And this is what's happening because they have no cause. They have nothing that's greater than themselves because they're a generation that's raised to believe nothing's more important than their feelings.
Yeah.
So there's nothing beyond their feelings. There's nothing. They're not serving any higher purpose except their own ego and their own validation. So it's terrifying to watch that. And I look at it and I think, as I watch images of, Jewish students, dressed in, traditional Jewish attire, yarmulkes and whatnot, walking across the campus, being attacked, bombarded. And can you imagine for a minute if it were anybody else, if these were Muslim students who were being shot down, if these were African-American students, Hispanic students, anything other than that? Heck, you had Nick Sandman, who was smiling at someone who got absolutely destroyed in the media.
Right.
He destroyed him to the point where they had to probably pay him out $100 million.
Yep.
And here we have it's perfectly acceptable to lob these kinds of insults at Jewish people.
At what point where do you, Eric Matheny, pinpoint the moment or by whom they are radicalized by?
Well, I think culturally we started to shift that way during Obama's second term. I really look at 2012, 2013 as kind of the cultural shift in this country. And we did see a lot of craziness on college campuses, really. That's been going on for a long time. That's been, my day and before. Then, most academics are liberal. But just the far liberal bent to the point where now they're embracing terrorism, embracing groups like Hamas. I think what I've pinpointed it to is it goes back to race. Because BLM, Hamas, and the left kind of are in bed with each other because they look at Palestinians as the people of color, the Arabs. And the Jews, they look at, you're coming from Europe, so you're white. So it becomes a white versus people of color dichotomy, wherein now you can demonize the Jews because they're in the same category as white people. And as we know, white people have no standing whatsoever in our culture. And it's the one group of people where it's socially acceptable to hate. In fact, you're supposed to hate yourself.
Right.
If you're a decent white person, if you're a white person, you don't hate yourself. then that's a problem and you're a bigot. So when you split it along those lines, and like, because I heard some of the chancellor telling the, you know, the Jewish students, you know, go back to Poland, go back to Germany. Right. Well, those are traditionally white countries. So if you can say that Jews are coming from Europe, then Jews are white. And you could put them in with white people, and then it's perfectly acceptable, in fact, encouraged on a lot of these campuses to outright hate them. And I just look at everything that we've gone through on the right. You know, Donald Trump is a Nazi. You're a Nazi. If you support Trump, you're a Nazi. If you wear the red hat. When they are at Columbia, when you watch what's going on, I mean, study your history. Look at the University of Vienna in the 1930s when they were blocking Jewish students from entering the building. And they're doing the same thing at Columbia University, one of the pillars of American higher learning.
Right.
And I mean, how did we get to this point in this? How did we lose the culture war this badly? And the thing that scares me the most is how do we come back from it? And, and we've been talking about it for a long time, but I mean, we might be at a point where I don't know how we come back from this, where now it's become socially acceptable to completely demonize a group of people. You know, the one thing we never swore would happen again, you know, the Holocaust and right. You know, the hatred of the Jews that we saw in the 40s. We're coming back to that.
Yeah, sadly, we are. And in the freest country in the world, you know, which is the most disturbing part of it. Ilhan Omar's daughter made Ilhan proud. Ursa, now kicked out of school. She's sad because she's now homeless and starving to death. She can't get into her meal. Ticket has been canceled. She's been kicked out of the dorm. Her stuff has been put in the parking lot. How long before she has a place to live?
You know, I don't know, but I think now you got some real hardship. Now you actually have something you got to work toward. This might actually make you a better person. You're experiencing consequences. You went and you violated the student code of conduct, and they treated you like anyone else, and they kicked you out of school or suspended you. I don't know when they're going to let her back in. I'm sure they will end up caving. I'm sure her mother is going to use her position and try to levy certainly a lot of influence on that. But that may be, you know, something positive for these students if they actually suffer consequences and learn that, like, hey, look, you can protest. You can absolutely protest. But when you start attacking other students based on their identity, I mean, they're throwing students out for, for not applying the proper pronouns. And here they are absolutely degrading and denigrating people based on their religion. So there does need to be consequences, and it may be the first time in their lives these some of these kids, these, you know, 18 to 22-year-olds, have ever experienced anything close to consequences. And I'll tell you, man, we've been saying this for a long time. This is the everybody-gets-a-trophy generation. This is the generation that was raised with the self-esteem movement and anti-bullying and all the stuff that has made us weak as a culture. We were once a proper country. Chris Rock, he just did a comedy bit not too long ago, talked about that. Bullies are essential. They do the tough work. They teach, like, there are mean people in the world, and this teaches you, it makes you stronger, teaches you how to deal with, you know, people that may be undesirable.
Let's change gears for a minute. Congress has to come out over the weekend and pass a massive spending bill for Ukraine. I saw two recent polls leading up to this that showed both were over 70% of American voters say they want no more money given to Ukraine, right? 70%. That's a super majority. Congress sends it anyway. So if there's a democracy to be destroyed, I don't see it. That's not democracy.
Well, no, what it is we have to, as Americans, I don't care where you are on the political aisle, left or right, we need to start realizing that if you're hardworking, if you're law-abiding, if you're a taxpayer, if you're trying to raise your family and be a good citizen, your government hates you. Your government hates you. They really want nothing to do with you, and they see you as nothing but someone who's providing tax revenue. If you're dirt poor, you're going to get everything. If you're an illegal immigrant, you're going to get everything. If you're a criminal, there's going to be no consequences. If you're super wealthy, you're going to be connected. If you're super wealthy, there's going to be no consequences. If you're super wealthy, all the taxes they throw at you aren't going to make a dent because it's not going to hurt you. It's everybody stuck in the middle, which in a prosperous society would be, you have a bell curve. The majority of the people are going to be right there in the middle because the middle class drives this country. And it's being squeezed out time and time again, not only by economics, but certainly by the culture. And this culture of Washington corruption, these people that come in there and, you know, they just suspended someone in the NBA for life for betting on their own team. And I'm like, okay, That's right. So why do we still have Congress people that are allowed to buy stocks? It's the same thing as betting on your own team.
Sure is.
Yeah, the access, the information that they have, the influence that they have, what they know, what they personally could vote on. You know, hey, if we pass this legislation, it's going to open the door for this, these contracts, and I own stock in this company that's going to benefit. I mean, they're the only ones consistently doing well in this country are members of Congress. So it's just a reminder that it's a great big club. You're not in it. And to sit here and think, well, I like what this, you know, this congressional candidate is saying. If we elect them, everything's going to be better. They are completely irrelevant. It's not about electing the right congressperson. It's about uprooting this entire system of cultural decay and corruption and perpetual employment for otherwise people that are talentless. I mean, you think a country like ours that produces the level of talent and innovation that it does, why are we electing these people? And I think the only explanation is anybody who's got talent and innovation
stays away.
And industry stays the hell away from it. Why would you want anything to do with that organization?
True. Speaking of Ukraine, Kyiv seems to be alive and well. We've seen reports of people partying, going to work, hitting the clubs. Where is this war, and why don't we see? Why is the information coming from it so controlled? Any actual warfare that you see video of is from a drone footage, and it's a lone tank guy in a field somewhere getting a drone hit or a bomb on him. We don't see the destruction that they claim is going on there. Are you at the least bit worried about that?
I think back to when I was a kid. I grew up in the 90s, and I think back to the first Gulf War when we had a fraction of the technology we have now. And I'd watch, you know, the nightly news, Wolf Blitzer, whoever, and I watched the airstrikes in Kuwait and Iraq, and we saw that war. The Vietnam War was televised. You know, the first Gulf War, Afghanistan, we saw footage of that all the time. Where's the footage of this war that we're funding? Where is it? Because the only thing I see coming out of Ukraine are beautiful women on yachts and nightclubs and parties, and it does not look like a war zone.
No.
So where is this money? And the other thing I want to ask, and think about it this way, and I could, you know, I'm sure the parents will understand. You give your son $20 and say, go do this. And he comes back to you 2 days later and says, I need another $20. Well, what happened to the first $20 you spent? Where's the change? Where's the money? Where did it go? You know, Zelensky keeps coming. I need more and more. I need more and more. But, you know, Russia's going to take over. Oh, my God, you got to send us more. What happened to all the money that we've given you? Where's it going? How's it being spent? And if you ask that question, then you're a Putin stooge. You must be working for Russia. This is insanity. And we can't seem to find anybody in our government other than a handful of people who are, you know, loud voices. But remember, the way that our Congress is set up, 1 to 10 Congress people are irrelevant. Mind you, what you're looking at right now, the Ukrainian flags being waved in the House, $61 billion, more money, $96 billion aid package with $0 to the border. That's with a Republican majority. That's what a Republican majority has gotten you.
Yep.
And it goes to show there is no point in fighting, stressing, knocking on doors, raising money for a Republican majority. It does us no good. The Democrats, they might as well keep things as they are, because they could be the minority party. They can use that for, you know, campaigning, because, hey, oh, my God, we got to stop these radical Republicans. Donate now so we can take back the House. But they're getting everything they want anyway.
Yeah, that's the sad part. Yeah. I, you know, if I saw something along the, you know, a third of what we see out of Gaza, even you would be convinced of a legitimate war there. But when you see nightclubs thumping and people drinking, having a great time and partying, and this country's supposed to be at war and we're supposed to be funding it, it doesn't all jive in my book.
Shannon, it doesn't jive. But even if I was seeing footage of war coming out of the Ukraine, and forgive me for sounding callous, I really don't care. To be honest, I'm an American. I care about Americans first and foremost. I care about our border. I care about our streets. I care about our taxes. I care about our inflation. I care about being able to afford groceries. Those are the things that I think about on a daily basis. And I just did my taxes, and I paid a lot in taxes, and my accountant reminded me, oh, Uncle Sam thinks you owe more. A lot of Americans are dealing with that right now. You just got your tax bill, and you thought, wait a minute, you know, what am I getting? What am I paying for as an American? Why am I sending you to Washington? I'm not a Ukrainian. I've never been to Ukraine. And if, you know, oh, my God, the poor Ukrainian people. Sure. But there's about 190 other nations in the world that are going through famine, poverty, war, strife, genocide that you don't hear two words about. What about sub-Saharan Africa? It's a war zone. There's civil wars. There's murders. There's genocide. Nobody cares because the government has determined that this is where the money is coming from. Ukraine's one of the most corrupt nations on the planet. Yeah. And who knows how many people in Congress have business ties to them. You know, Hunter Biden is not the only one who does business with Ukraine. And the thing is, I think one of the reasons why Republicans have kind of tiptoed around the issue of Hunter Biden, yeah, they'll throw a little political theater here and there, but have really not looked into it because they don't want to cast stones because they all live in glass houses.
Right.
And I guarantee a lot of them are, there's money coming back to their accounts, their wire transfers from Kiev, the same as Hunter, the same as the Biden. It's one big uniparty swamp.
If I don't know that most Americans need any more proof that Donald Trump is currently being pursued in a witch hunt. Letitia James, not happy about Trump's being able to post the bond, tried to get it deemed inadequate, like the cash is not green enough. What an embarrassment for that court and for New York City and New York. I mean, there you need no more proof. He got an appeals judge to lower the amount. He got the amount. She tried to stab at it, didn't realize that it was all cash, I guess, and really didn't, I guess the cash wasn't green enough. Do you think she wanted to catch him while he was in his criminal trial and seize some property?
Absolutely. She was absolutely taking advantage of that. And, you know, props to the court for doing the right thing and upholding the bond. I mean, granted, he's still got to go through the appellate process. He's in a criminal trial right now, and he's got three more criminal trials ahead of him. But, you know, people are catching on. They really are. Like I've said many times, I mean, even if they're not the biggest fans of the guy, and I've had my disagreements with him, but you got to sit there and go, like, this is completely un-American. This is just unprecedented. That we don't do this in this country. You know, we sit here and cast our you know, aspersions at Putin, and we go, oh, my God, look at what he's doing. We're doing the same thing here. We're locking up protesters. We're putting political opponents on trial. We've got a border that's out of control. We've got a corrupt government. We've got a government that's dealing in profit and self-dealing. How are we any different than Ukraine? How are we any different than Russia?
True. I mean, we're not. People don't realize that. That it seems to be fairly blatant, but but so many Americans believe that, you know, those Jan 6 people need to rot in hell for the rest of their lives in a jail cell somewhere, and that Donald Trump should be prosecuted because he lied about the value of a piece of property, you know, 15 years ago that a banker was completely happy with. It's a whole different level of what they seem to be lawful and acceptable and moral. The bigger question is, when all of the dust settles and the criminal trial is over, results in nothing. He wins the Letitia James thing on appeal. The Alvin Bragg thing goes away. Will there be pursuits of these offices for malicious prosecution?
You know, I don't know. I hear, you know, Republicans make a lot of promises, but I tend not to believe them. And the president, you know, unilaterally, he's only got so much authority. As far as going after, you know, if the Department of Justice wants to, you know, look into Letitia James and look into Alvin Bragg for prosecutorial misconduct, certainly they could. Are they going to? I mean, Donald Trump was backstabbed by his own attorney general, by his own FBI director. I mean, he's really got to build a cabinet of people he can trust. And that's one thing. That's one of my criticisms of him is he doesn't he's poor with personnel. So it's really not up to him. It's really up to the people he surrounds himself with. And hopefully this term, I think it's obviously very different circumstances in 2024 than we first had in 2016. And hopefully he surrounds himself with the right people. And we finally do see some accountability because where we are right now, it's not sustainable. We can't keep on this path we're on.
Agreed. Eric Matheny, get him where you get your social media, at Eric M. Matheny. A great follow on X. Also, catch the Bob and Eric Save America podcast, which is posted every Saturday. Eric, thanks for your time, my brother. I appreciate it.
Take care. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Wrong button. All right, when we return, it is time to dip into the remarks again. Caitlin Clark got a shoe deal. I'll tell you what that's going to be worth. Lady fell on a volcano, like a real volcano. Did he just got burned up? Because I've seen guys, like, they throw a rock, and it hits that little layer of hardened lava, and then it breaks it, and then it's like, here comes another eruption.
No, it's more like she got cooked in there, like an oven.
Yikes. And the leader of Papua New Guinea. Prime Minister James Marape has some harsh words for our president. Stick around. It's the Shannon Burke Show.
We see majority of Americans who disagree. And so when you are not with where majority of Americans are, then, you know, that is extreme. That is an extreme way of thinking.
You extremist! That's an extreme way of thinking if you don't agree with a majority. What's wrong with you? Papua New Guinea Prime Minister James Marape, not happy with the president and his recent comments. He's disappointed in the statement that he would suggest his nation was rife with cannibals. Noting also that Papua New Guinea was unwilling to be pulled into the global conflict in the 40s, Biden's comments suggested his uncle had been eaten. He says President Biden's remarks may have been a slip of the tongue, however, my country does not deserve to be labeled as such. World War II was not the doing of my people. However, they were needlessly dragged into a conflict that was not their doing. The remains of World War II lie scattered all over PNG, including the plane that carried President Biden's uncle. Perhaps given President Biden's comments and the strong reaction from the PNG and other parts of the world, it's time for the USA to find as many remains of World War II in PNG as possible, including those of servicemen who lost their lives, like Ambrose Finnegan. What is he playing? The place is full of wrecks over there. We ought to get over there and start.
Oh, yeah. There's a bunch of stuff we just left there.
You think we go try to find at least human remains? He said his country's littered with it. Littered with human remains. Planes and shipwrecks. Tunnels and bombs from World War II. God. And people are, you know, they're trying to build a tourism base there. And when they hear that there's cannibals there, people are canceling their beach packages.
Oh, no, you got to lean into that. Come see where Uncle Bozy got eaten.
Yeah, take the cannibal tour. Have some guy eating, you know, like a chicken leg and a couple of, you know, make it look like a chicken foot or a toe or a human foot.
Like just big rib, like beef ribs that you guys just gnawing down on.
In a cage somewhere. We've caged these cannibals for your amusement. Oh, boy. Yeah. Nike's deal with Caitlin Clark, you know, poor Caitlin Clark is only going to make $76,000 a year playing professional basketball at the top of her game. She's going to have a deal with Nike worth $28 million and a signature shoe.
Seems like that's a lot.
But should she still be paid more for playing the basketball part? You know, if you're a star, a big enough star, the rest of it works itself out.
Yeah, it's always been, you know, they always get contracts, but most of the people like Gronk was smart. He got some decent sized contracts, but he also made a ton of money in sponsorships and things like that.
Her representatives, her Excel Sports Management, they met with Adidas, Under Armour, Puma, Nike, and they said they were looking for $3 million per year deal as a starting point. At the time she had yet to decline for the draft, but it was clear that she'd be their brightest star, but I knew that. Some executive told her she'd be more popular if she stayed another year at Iowa rather than going to the WNBA. Puma balked at the $3 million, and they said, and they left the negotiations in the beginning. They have Breonna Stewart of New York Liberty on the roster. She's got a signature shoe. Clark and the Adidas people, the Zoom call left Clark surprised by how engaged, curious, and well-prepared Clark was on the call, but their offer of 4 years, $6 million didn't come close. Under Armour had a deal, $16 million over four. Nobody can match Nike's deal, and that's where she's landed. Not bad.
She should take the deal and retire now.
Break her ankle and sit out. Well, that's, you know, you're not going to get the popularity of the women's NCAA tournament was, I think, a surprise to a lot of people. And that bodes well for the WNBA.
I mean, she is selling a lot of jerseys. They're having to move There's like a couple of WNBA teams basically playing like high school arenas.
Right.
And they've had to move to major NBA arenas to play when she comes to town. So, yeah, that's the type of thing you do is people come to the games. Guess what? They'll make more money on their next contracts. When the next time the contract negotiations come around, they'll make more money.
And in men's, in the NBA, you have these, I mean, there are standout players that are just un-effing believable. Throughout my, you know, life, there are big standouts, and there are lots of them. And then the rest of them are good, obviously, but they're not, like LeBron and Michael Jordan, and you can go through the whole list. And
if you go back in time, though, those guys at the beginning when the NBA was getting up off the ground didn't make that much money.
No.
Why is this guy still police at my house? I'm in my mansion, smoking weed, eating chocolates.
Made a lot of millionaires. Delta Burke was admitted. She was chubby, but, you know, she was always a pretty lady. But she, you know, she felt that she needed to take some pills to lose some weight. She said people would say, you know, your butt's too big, your legs are too thick, or you're too big. And she goes, I looked at those pictures and I said, I was a freaking goddess back then. But she started taking pills. Black Beauties back in the day. was that what they were called? Black Beauties? I'm trying to remember. There's a different word for them. Something, the word black. She said they were like medicine. They became less effective, and she built up a tolerance. She was offered meth as a substitute. She said nobody knew about crystal meth at the time. I was told to snort the drug, but I didn't like that, so I put it in the drugs in my cranberry juice. And I would drink it before going to work, and I wouldn't eat for 5 days.
The miracle drug.
But you wouldn't sleep either, right? Or could you sleep on meth? I don't know.
I mean, probably not great.
Yeah. There you go.
That's right, ladies. You want to lose a little thigh chub? Just get yourself some cranberry and meth.
Don't eat for 5 days. That's a hell of a fast right there. 5 days. Man,
you'll undo your washing machine, but yeah. The things you do for beauty.
I run through 14 telephones. I took them all apart. She loved losing the weight and looking good. She felt really bad. She was very emotionally weak, she said, and someone came across her and a fan pulled open her coat and said, let's see how fat are you.
That's messed up.
Let's see how fat are you. What does she look like now? Is she normal now? She's alive, obviously. She's giving interviews.
Well, let's take a look here.
She's married to that guy from the other show, right? He was in some kind of detective show. Anywho,
she was born here in Orlando.
That's right. Sorry if you're listening, Delta. We do share the same last name. Let's get to these results.
All right.
Remarks from the Florida Man radio app. Powered by Morris Family Farms and Morganic Meats. It is a locker full of archives, podcast style, commercial free. Text the show, call the show from the app, leave us a message, hit the little microphone button. Here we go.
And the Clovis Bass Award for excessive calling goes to Sparky 352 or whatever his number is. Anyway, beady beady.
Hey, Shando, speaking of Morris Family Farms, had the opportunity to go to the store this week, and last week actually, and purchase some tomahawks, did them up on the smoker for the family. Those are some of the best, juiciest, flavorful steaks we have ever had, and the dogs are going to be going bananas mawing on them bones. Morris Family Farms, great place to be, great place to shop, awesome family.
That really is a great steak. No matter if he does them sometimes in the oven, and you know, after he sears them, and then I've done them all kind of ways, and you just can't beat it every year. And I'm always running over bones of the lawnmower in the backyard.
What's up, boys? Corn Atlanta, happy Monday. I'm with you, Shando. I love the Kraft singles onto my burger. They do melt so nicely. Check out the Kraft Deluxe singles. They come in a pack, and they're not individually wrapped. They're, like, stacked. So you just have to deal with the one wrapper that it encompasses the whole cheese stack. Be-doo-be-doo.
Hey, NASA guy. Love your squeeze of cheese idea. But buy the Kraft singles in the double pack. It's like double wide. They're not individually wrapped. And it is real cheese. And you can just grab... They are a bitch to get out of the package, but you can grab the whole slab. They are offset, and you can just sling them onto the burgers. Be-doo-be-doo. Love all y'all. Have a great night, Double H.
People call this show about steaks and American squeeze cheese and processed cheese.
The American dream right there.
Hey, what's up, Easy?
Oh, look at that.
It's Sparky352. This one is for you, bro.
Oh.
Your investigative skills and reporting and dark history is the highlight of my day. You
nailed
it today, bro.
Yeah.
Kudos. You need a Pulitzer, bro. Be-doo, be-doo.
Good God, man. I almost choked on my stick of butter when you said that girl was in the kitchen eating a stick of butter.
Don't get me wrong. I like butter. I'm a big proponent of it. If I'm feeling, you know, warm and fuzzy, I'll put a little pat of butter in my coffee. It's a nice little...
But you're not just chunking a...
No, I'm not just eating a hunk of butter for to eat a hunk of butter.
Hey, man, let that kid have that stick of butter with some sugar and probably some maple syrup, too. You know, fat lives matter.
I'm supposed to stop this one at 10 seconds. Let me see. I'll get it.
I'm going to tell you what was...
All right. I'm going to stop it there because that's like the fifth one. And here he is calling again to apologize.
I'm sorry.
All right. Thank you.
So how can I get me one of these? I donated 93 gallons of milk and all I got was this t-shirt from B2B2.
Bill Maher, didn't he say something racist a while back? That guy's kind of a douchebag. And you know he's going to endorse the establishment. He's probably going to vote for Biden.
Why is Bill Maher used to be the liberal? You know, all these people that were liberal before, or Democrats before, that are of note, Elon Musk is one of them, and Bill Maher, you guys have moved so far left, now they're all douchebags.
Yeah, but I think Bill Maher is a Biden voter still, too.
Oh, I'm sure he is. Yeah.
Well, now I'm wondering how many gallons Old Dolly can make.
Uh-oh. I'm out of... There we go. All right.
Howdy, guys. This is Nathan Bakersfield, California. You're talking about the breastfeeding deal, and Heather revealed that she produces at dairy cow levels. Out here in Bakersfield, there's this blood bank. People go and donate blood, and they get, like, these license plate frames showing that they donated, like, a gallon or 5 gallons or 10 gallons. I think Heather needs one of those license plate frames, you know, like 93 gallons of milk donated.
Yeah. They didn't give you a license plate frame, Heather?
No.
Would you put it on your car?
I don't know.
Like a sticker on your back window?
Yeah.
Maybe a sticker.
Mother pumper.
EZ invented easy cheese. Brilliant, but I don't think it'll taste good on a hamburger.
Well, he's going to crap all over everything, huh? Cheese is stupid.
And Cheese Whiz has been used on Philly cheesesteaks for 50 years now.
Wit.
Well, now I'm wondering how many gallons
old... Okay, I got that one. That was out of order.
I don't know about you, but the last time I saw American flags getting waved around in the Capitol was January 6th. Let that sink in.
93 gallons? 93. That's a lot. That's a whole lot of gallons. A lot of gallons. Whoa. And you helped a lot of people, so it's not funny, but 93 gallons of milk in the fridge. 93 gallons. I mean, where'd you
don't do it.
Put it all? Or shipped it out, I guess. I don't know. It's miraculous. I can't even imagine. Congratulations.
Reminds me of when I was moving out of this loft I lived in downtown Atlanta. And I had this wild dream that, the fine people at Jameson's had come up with a steel structure you could purchase for a Christmas tree. And using their bottles, fill out the, so you'd have a Jameson bottle Christmas tree.
Okay.
It required, I don't know how many.
A lot, I would guess.
70. and I'd forgotten that I'd been storing them all in this kitchen cabinet that I wasn't using. And literally, you know, I lived on the seventh floor of this this loft building. So I had anything you had to move, they had carts, you go get a cart. I used four trips of a two-shelved cart, probably 3 feet by 4 feet. I think I moved 48 bottles. The handles like bottles. I lived there 3 years.
You know, you think of all people, Biden would understand how things work with endorsements, since, you know, the presidential gig only pays so much, but yet he gets all these endorsements from Ukraine and China and different places like that really bring in the big bucks.
Let me put it that way. Yeah, it's an endorsement.
Hey, boys. Love the show. Heather, well done. Shannon, I'm really not busting bizalls, but I seen this meme or heard a joke. I can't remember where I heard it, seen it, whatever. But Caitlin Clark has sold more jerseys than all the Cowboys combined last year. Beedoo.
That does not surprise me.
I certainly don't begrudge Caitlin Clark for landing a payday. But as a society, we really need to put the brakes on funding overpriced endorsements by buying inferior products for our athletic apparel, not to mention all the slave labor that's involved with it. We got to stop. Beat him.
Funding.
Caitlin Clark's shoes going to be made by some... probably Chinese small kid.
Almost all those shoes are made in slave labor, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, is that a way that wink, wink, hey, we need this girl to make more money, we can't afford to pay her, maybe Nike, maybe you guys could wink, wink, or help us out here, or does Nike really want her?
Well, I mean, Nike wants her because they collect athletes.
Right.
I certainly don't...
That'd be Black Beauties and Yellow Jackets, I think, were the two names of them back in the day.
That's right, Black Beauties, Yellow Jackets. Black Beauties, that's what Johnny Cash got busted with a big old bag of them in his guitar once, right? And there's other one, guy that worked for my dad as a carpenter, he used to take speckled egg. It's more like a tablet, but round and looked like an egg, had little dots on it. Man, he was a real treat.
Hey, back in my 420 days, we used to make the cheeseburgers. And you know that cheese in the can for the crackers? Man, we used to load it up with that.
Damn it.
Sounds kind of gross, but actually it was delicious.
See? Stoner guy likes easy cheese on his burgers.
I mean, it wouldn't be the same cheese that you're spraying out of the can. I mean, I have that cheese in the house.
Yeah, probably that's pretty close.
That's proper for your Triscuits.
Those Velveeta shells foil packs with the cheese squeeze stuff in it, you can get those by themselves.
They got
several different flavors. I know they've got some of
like
the Dollar General.
Oh, the Dollar General?
I like you're all into it. They're like,
I gotta go to Dollar General again. I don't know.
Sparky, go to bed.
Hey, Woody from Atlanta here. I caught your show on Friday. Heather knocked out of the park, but Shannon, I think your role's safe.
Nice thing to say. I listen to it, and I got a lot of great comments on it.
Ah, Shannon's on an other guy. What hundo? Why here? What all this talk about cheese? You process cheese, you open cheese. Why don't you get your own goat and make your own cheese? Beedle for everyone. Okay, bye.
Kraft will find a way. put it in a like a pastry deal. You could do it yourself. You could melt some Velveeta, put it in a Ziploc bag, zip it shut, cut the corner with some scissors, go to town. You're like a whole a cheese, a pastry chef. Where are we? Okay. I don't want to play that one.
Here you go, Shannon. We got you a brand new juicer. Woo! Show it to him, Easy. Don't let us down now, Easy.
They forgot to get the juicer.
Damn it.
Heather, if you put that sticker on your car, I'll guarantee you will have a train of people following you home on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Or wherever you go, for that matter. Beauty, beauty.
That's true. What do you think, Heather? A bunch of freakies, they're like licking weird. Their tongue at you when they drive by.
I got a bottle. Can you fill this up?
Yeah, immediately guys think, I mean, it's. I'm sure it's a tedious chore for a mother to breastfeed, and it's not, the you know, it's kind of painful. It can be discomfort. And we just like, oh, boobies. Yeah, let me see. It's true.
Oh, yeah, this is Jimmy from the FDA. I'm going to need to inspect those milkers.
So uh-huh. Just give me a call. See, there's the guy right there.
Biden getting endorsements?
Hey, Nezigo number two. Yep, Black Beauties. I just happened to hear that. Yeah, I made a fortune off those. But yeah, anything coming from China endorsed by any of these rich people, yeah, it's all child labor, skin land, rob us, screw them, screw us.
Right. Thank you.
Wait, people still buy Triscuits?
Yes, they do. They don't buy woven wheats. What's wrong with Triscuits? It's my go-to snack cracker.
Hey, guys. True story. The original Philly cheesesteak had cheese
Get
whiz
the
on it.
Hell out of
the
here.
Squeeze cheese.
What? I don't. We know. You can still get it.
Yeah, Velveeta cheese sauce packets. Don't worry, Shannon. They have them at Walmart and other places, too.
Thank God.
Can you get them at Aldi's, though?
I don't know. I stopped at this dollar store on the way through the on Lake Avenue a couple of times during the pandemic to get cleaning stuff and whatever. And I don't know. I feel like something's going to go down when I'm in there. I'm like, I walk in. I'm like, all right. I'm coming in. I'm looking around. I'm just here. Don't worry. Just here to buy some things.
You don't have to have a squeeze bottle of cheese. You can squirt it out of a can right now.
We're talking about a different cheese here, buddy.
Hey, guys, and Heather, Kevin and Navarre. Heather, one thing, you're my hero. Be-doo-be-doo.
About the cheese thing, we can always put it in a cock tube.
You don't need a squeeze bottle of...
Okay. Well, we're just supposed to repeat it.
Hey, guys. Panhandle Patty here. Are y'all going to start sharing recipes next? Madoobadoo.
I have a great brown grape. Hold on. Wait. What else went on here?
People who eat Triscuits have white refrigerators.
I no longer have... Well, I have them. They're in the garage now. Those are the remarks for today's show. Thanks for leaving them. Get the app. It's the best way to leave. You can always call the show. We rarely take calls. The little button at the bottom looks like a microphone. Hit that, baby, and you're off to the races. All right, when we get back, the Best Grandma Ever Award. I mean ever. Hang on. It's the Shannon Burke Show. I had a grandmother that might do this for me. We called her Mama Gladys, my mom's mother, Gladys Cervello. Hard Marlboro hitting old lady. This Michigan grandmother, the grandmother, the granddaughter were dropped off at the Michigan Elementary School, Morris Township, and they were buzzed into the school under the guise that the grandmother was participating in a behavioral meeting with her granddaughter. Very sneaky, this grandma. There wasn't a meeting at all. They circumvented the security protocols, gained unaccess to the school premises. The grandmother saw a young girl that her granddaughter was having trouble with And they a couple followed this girl into a bathroom. Then the grandmother held down the girl while her granddaughter punched her. That's a good granny right there.
Mm-hmm. Granny held you down while I whooped that ass.
Mm-hmm. They say it's crucial to emphasize that no other children in the school were involved or harmed during the incident. Only the girl that was punched.
So granny wasn't grabbing other kids and holding them down?
No, but granny is, she's unnamed because they say she hasn't been named because the name has not been released because she's pending arraignment. But what is it? You don't release the names of minors or grandmothers? Grandmothers, you know, it could be 35, 40 years old for all we know. 50. That's it. You tell me where she is, girl. Let's go. Oh, there she is. Let's go. Let's get her.
I'm going to hold her down.
I'm going to hold her down. Give her a good slug to the punch her right in the face. Man. I mean, what do you do to her? I mean, I don't know how old this. It could be 80-something old, gray-haired, bent over, you know, doily-using grandma that held her down.
Weak-ass kid got held down by a grandma, though.
And who dropped them off? Who drove the getaway car? Because you know what was going to happen. They're going to drive back around, and grandma was going to exit and jump in a getaway car and get away. What a great parent. I see where Sydney Sweeney had to apologize for having great breasts during a Mexican vacation.
She doesn't have to apologize.
People are like, hey, am I getting your picture? Look, I'm sorry. Got great boobs. Well, what am I going to do? That's it for us. Thank you very much for tuning in today. Thank you, EZ.
Thank you.
Thanks for Friday. Thank you, Heather.
Thank you.
Thanks for Friday as well. We're back tomorrow. 2 Eastern, 1 Central, right after the Don Miller Show. Hysterically funny and insightful. They follow Bubba the Love Sponge, who had quite a show today. Whoo! Nothing but drama over there. We'll see you tomorrow on the Florida Man Radio Network. My name is Shannon Burke. Have a good night.